The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. Media day, as they call it, which means free pizza, so everybody shows up. But all the conference calls, everything getting ready for Miami Dolphins week. And it's a good thing the Patriots are playing Miami. That's all I can say.
So we had those preseason easy games against the Bills.
There's no easy games. There's no easy games.
Not for this team.
But I'm feeling good. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots. And it's the Andre Carter era begins again.
Here. Era. Did you say error?
Era.
Era.
Begins here at Gillette Stadium. And what are they seeing this guy? Is this just, we'll sign him? Or do they see something where he could actually help out right away?
I think they see a guy who's probably a part-time player at this point in his career with the injuries and 12 years in, but experience in the system, leadership, which we know they're kind of down a couple leaders on defense. And, you know, you're, as we talked about yesterday, you're one injury away at defensive end from being a pretty bad situation where all of a sudden Buchanan's playing all the time or Jake Beckett's playing all the time, and it gives you the versatility with Ninkovich. So I certainly think you could make a strong argument. This will help the team in one form or fashion. Just don't expect him to be the guy from a couple of years ago who was, you know, 10 sacks and your best defensive player.
Okay. Paul, you agree with that?
Nah, I would just...
Paul put his shirt on. I'm glad for that.
I would just...
Sorry, his boobies.
Agree with everything.
Nude.
Hairy boobies everywhere.
I would agree with everything that Andy said. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
This is all done.
What is all done?
This...
What's the matter, Paul?
This place is falling apart, Fred.
I thought we had this all refurbished before the season.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
I think what we consider refurbishing is Doug Lane comes in and tightens like one screw, and does that sound better?
Oh, yeah, it's a little better. With this little keychain right. That has, you know, 75 different MacGyver-like instruments.
Please proceed, Paul.
No, I just would say everything that Andy did. I just reiterate, Andy, I agree everything what you said. I think you get some leadership and you get another passer. I would rather have him as the third edge guy than Michael Buchanan, who has basically been doing a decent job in that role. And that's not meant to beat up on a rookie seventh-round pick, but I think Andre Carter offers you much more than that.
And maybe more versatility in some of the packages.
And you get some versatility that Mike Reese talked about yesterday that you mentioned.
No, but even beyond that, I'm saying, you know, maybe you're more comfortable with him bumping inside or something, whether they go to those three defensive end looks or whatever it may be as an experienced veteran who physically probably isn't what he, you know, is even a year or two ago, but, you know, has some savvy. He's been in the trenches for a while, and plus a nice guy. Very nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Not that that matters on any level, but he's a nice man.
Matters to me.
Keeps himself in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he could come in ready to play. I don't know.
Oh, I would expect him to be active on Sunday. I mean, yeah. I don't know what he'll do, but given the familiarity with the team and everything, I don't see any reason why he couldn't be active.
And in terms of news, both Talib and Amendola out there today for practice, so that's a good sign.
Good sign.
Now, Talib finished last week on the practice field, but I think it's a little bit more significant on a Wednesday. In pads that he's
that was
there.
Show ponies last Friday.
I agree.
Scott Zolak would say that was show ponies. Just putting him out there just for a little
or at least unicorns.
Maybe, right. I mean, he couldn't even jog last week. And my guess is when the media left last Friday, so did Akeem Talib.
He may have yogged off the field.
He may not have been able to yog off. He may have walked off.
All right. So I think that's great news. Talib and Amendola back.
It's all coming together, Freddie.
Yeah. Now it's a you got too many weapons now with Colley.
Are you concerned with maybe Talib comes back too fast? I mean, this seems like something that goes back to last year. So, you know, is there a concern he comes back or he injures it and then it's 3 weeks from that day? And then,
I have that concern, and hopefully the team doesn't because they know they have more info than I do.
Right.
You know?
But it seems like it's one of those things that's probably not all that black and white.
I have no idea what the injury is.
It's his hip.
Yeah, but like,
and the reports are it's sort of the labrum, you know, it's not like a bone issue. It's
right. I don't know.
So it's almost like a hamstring. You can feel fine, and then you get out there and pop your back on the sideline because it's the hamstring. And even in the game, we saw that. You know, where he left, it looked bad. He comes back in, and then he really left and threw his helmet. I just have my concerns. I'd love to see him this week. Because I think maybe one of the ways that the Dolphins had a chance to beat you is to throw the ball down the field to either Wallace or Hartline make some plays. Yeah. And I certainly feel better about that if Talib is on the good Talib.
The thing about, this is a game where I don't put Talib one-on-one with Wallace. I double-team Wallace with help over the top because as good as Talib is, Wallace is faster. Mm-hmm. So even if you have at 90% with Talib, having to go all out to keep up with Wallace is the kind of thing that will aggravate whatever this injury is. So I wouldn't put him one-on-one with Wallace.
And Bill has often started with Wallace when he was in Pittsburgh. He just basically took Wallace away. You know, he had that one big game in the losing effort where he had a couple touchdowns. But you could tell when they've played Wallace in Pittsburgh, he was priority number one. We're not going to let you beat us. You can beat us, Heath Miller, whatever.
Yeah.
So I
put Dennard on him with help over the top and let Talib take Hartline or whatever.
Because of Talib's condition. Yeah. I wouldn't leave him one-on-one with anybody right now. Yeah, and I think that's a big factor because I think that's a big difference in how they had been playing. I agree with you, Freddie. I wouldn't leave him alone.
Yeah.
And it's also a question is when do you learn? I mean, you never really know what he's going to be until he's out there.
And all of a sudden,
if you're Miami, I'm going right after him to find out, can I steal a couple plays early because he's not really what he could be.
At the very least, I'm going to do a couple of double moves on him and make him test the injury.
Yep, right.
See if I can get him off the field.
No question.
Absolutely.
Go after him.
Yeah. Without a doubt. But, you know, Gronk will have been, you know, a game under his belt, feeling good with his German Shepherd training pad. You know, so Ridley will be the number one back. I'm feeling good about this game. I'm feeling good. I've moved on from the Jets in that disappointment, and I'm feeling good about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are all that good. The more I look at them,
I think
they're
good, but
yeah, I don't.
Okay.
But they just don't have an offensive line. They can't protect him at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. They spent money in free agency, and the guys that they spent on have produced for the most part. They've been pretty good players. Not like they're busting out in free agency, but they didn't do anything to really improve the offensive line.
Well, they took the money they could have used on
Jake Long.
And
although
used it
I'm
elsewhere.
Not sure that would have been doing. I mean, he's been terrible in St. Louis, so I'm not sure
better
that would have helped.
Better than Jonathan Martin, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and now they did make
be
a trade for Bryant McKinney from Baltimore, but I'm not sure if he's going to be able to step in and play immediately.
Doesn't matter who plays. Chandler Jones should win that matchup.
Well,
Jones should win this game on that level.
On the other side, are we afraid of Cameron Wake?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am.
In theory, Vollmer has always played very well against him. He has always done a very good job against him. And, you know, I don't know why that wouldn't start.
Didn't last year he have a really good game in Miami, Wake? And then everybody said that Vollmer was hurt, but he played through with the injury or whatever.
Well, maybe. I just, in my memory, I feel like I always think Cameron Wake's going to be a
problem. He had a couple of sacks in the game last year.
Does a decent job with him.
And right now, the way the Patriots offensive line has been playing, I would say that, you know, you have those kinds of guys and they're worth paying attention to because the Patriots have struggled. And it's another team that doesn't blitz a ton and wants to get pressure with four. And if you do that, you know what that means in terms of the coverage. You don't really have any outlets to go quickly. So that's been the formula. And this guy, Kevin Coyle, his name escaped me for a second, the defensive coordinator, comes from Cincinnati. And, he has some similarities, Belichick said, with the way the Bengals did it. And we know that the Bengals, at least in scheme,
right,
was successful.
Well,
maybe not the same personnel. But
Ben Volen seems to think that the Bengals and the Jets now have published the blueprint to beat the Patriots.
And that is?
I didn't read the story. But,
yeah, I mean, that's silly.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because is that to have one of the better defensive lines in football and start from there? Like,
well, exactly.
Draft Muhammad Wilkerson in the first round. A couple years later, take Sheldon Richardson, have a very good defensive line, and start. Having a good defensive line has always been one of the keys to starting against the Patriots having a chance.
Well, you go back to the Giants in 07.
I feel like anybody that's ever had success against the Patriots, they've had good defensive lines.
And I would also say Rex Ryan's defenses, since he's been there, for the most part, have been successful against the Patriots offense. He's done it with a variety of different schemes and a variety of different players.
So why is it, though, that...
So where's the blueprint?
Why is it, though, that these teams with good defensive lines, Giants 07, Giants 2011, Bengals this year, Jets this year, why don't they have great records against other teams? What is it about our team that they have that success?
Well, I mean, the bulk of them are good. The Giants were good defensive lines that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
the Bengals have been a good defensive line that has brought them to the playoffs and had one of the better defenses in football the last couple of years.
And the Jets were in two conference title games when they were doing that.
When a team has success against them, what do they do to combat that good defensive line?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I would argue have a good offensive line.
Right.
It gets back to our criticism, my criticism, that our offensive line is not playing good enough, well enough. They're not living up to their paychecks, their draft status, any of that crap that you want
to... Needs to
get
better.
Now, you just say that the other team's good and they get paid too and it's okay.
Well, I don't think that's what Fred's saying.
No, that's
what
he said yesterday.
You know,
oh, he said that yesterday.
And people,
oh, they get paid too.
And people shouldn't...
should.
I don't. I'm gonna run down to the locker room and see if we can get.
You're really gonna run?
You're gonna leave me here?
Don't, because you'll be breathing heavy when you do your interview.
But just in case we can get this done early, and maybe I can get back because I missed the show. I don't like having.
Freddie, you glossed over the news of the day. I think buried in that release of the Andre Carter signing. I haven't met him yet. Paul, keep an eye out for Silvir Siliga.
Well, I like.
He's a big defensive tackle out of Utah. I'm thinking he's Samoan.
I like what he chose for his first Twitter picture when he was here. Did you see that?
Oh, no. You follow Silvir Siliga?
Well, no. It was retweeted by somebody else. But the first thing he did, he said, you know, proud to say that I'm a New England Patriot. And he took a selfie. And behind him was a framed PFW cover.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So is he Samoan?
I don't know.
Did he look it?
Haven't met the gentleman.
You saw his selfie.
It was like one eye and half of a nose.
Oh. But, you know, we've been talking about how they haven't really had the Will Fork, the fire hydrant. And he, you know, I haven't seen him yet, but sounds like a fire hydrant. 6'2", 325, sounds like a guy. And despite what you think of the run defense, it's been struggling mightily. I mean, we're now 31st in the league, I think, in run defense. 177, 100 in the second half against the Saints. It hasn't been good. So maybe and it's just the practice squad, by the way. I'm kind of joking about the answer here, but he's a potential that might have a little bit more oomph for holdability to just kind of hold his ground there in the middle,
right?
Depending on whether Tommy Kelly is healthy or not. So, and you know me, I just like Samoans. I think if you're going to draft a D tackle, go with a Samoan.
No word from Armstead.
Apparently, neither guy is going to start this week.
Start practicing.
So, and then there was also confusion, which I don't know anything about. Apparently, Vereen can start practicing at some point, and Bill was asked about it, and he didn't really clarify it, but I guess that's part of that rule. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of that IR rule, but apparently he doesn't have to wait to practice right until the end. He can But I think Bill said something about it could be today or in the next 2 weeks or something.
Right.
Like, well, thanks, Bill. Could we clarify that a little bit more?
But he can't play, though.
No, he can't play.
Yeah.
He can't play with Carolina.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting him back out there, because remember people were like, well, we'll see how Vereen is, you know, in the whole Gronkowski discussion, he got to practice.
Right.
Well, if Vereen gets to practice for a couple weeks, people like me will elevate the expectation that you hit the ground running as an intact guy.
Yep. All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. We might as well get to the emails. What the hell, right?
What the hell?
Johnny in New Mexico, I think, NM. Would that be New Mexico?
Sure.
I guess.
North Medford?
Yeah, could be. I like how y'all poo-pooed my email, which you read on air, after the loss to Cincy. I believe I asked about the status of Andre Carter. We'll see how he does post-injury. I was present at the game in Denver in 2011 when he sustained his injury. Good times. Really? It seemed like our offense was at their peak, sadly, including Ocho, but it still seemed like the good old days. Now we're struggling to convert third downs, and our D is in need of a solid linebacker to lead the pack. Mr. Kraft said it best. Kraft and Mayo belong in the same sentence, or whatever he said. Yeah, we're missing Gerard Mayo.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Vince Wilford, for sure.
Indeed. Yeah. The run defense struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get to
that. We all liked Andre Carter. We all hoped that they would re-sign him. But he had that injury at the time.
And he still met. Yeah. I've heard rumblings that he never really came back from that.
Yeah.
That he didn't look the same. Because he was just flat out good when he was here.
He really was.
Against the run, against the pass. Mark Anderson, I thought, cleaned up his scraps to get his 10 sacks. I thought he was that defensive guy for this team that year. And it was, at his age, 10 years into your career, to have a blown quad. And
so what is he now, 36?
34, I believe.
Yeah, so he's not like ancient, but
no,
yeah.
But a major muscle injury like that in that area. I mean, that's he's getting all his speed and power, that explosion out of his legs. I just think we need to temper the expectations to, 25% play time and situational impact.
I mean, it could be, maybe he sets the edge and, we're not asking you to get upfield. We're not asking you to see, tackles for loss. Just set that edge. Be a consistent guy there that doesn't make a mistake.
But where does he do that?
I think like we were talking about, moving Ninkovich back into the outside linebacker and maybe putting Carter as your end.
That got an I don't know from Bill Belichick today, by the way. Does it give you more flexibility with a maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
Bill,
that means
maybe that's why you're losing games, because you don't know.
No, he knows. He's not, just not going to answer. Talk about strategy and that type of thing. I don't blame
him. Why doesn't he say that?
Well,
I would feel much better. I know it's the same thing. I'm not getting an answer. But just say, I don't really, we're not going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
I don't know is just.
I remember when Dante Scarnecchia, I don't know if he was just doing a press conference or if he had taken over for a little bit. But
in the 90s?
In the 2000s.
Oh, when Bill's dad died.
Yes, yes.
He took over for that week.
That's right. And I remember somebody asked a question and Dante said, we don't talk about strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd be much happier about that than I don't know.
Right.
You do know. I know you know.
Right.
I know you have a thought on Ninkovich, Carter, personnel.
Right.
So just say we don't talk about defensive strategy, or we don't talk, or we'll have to wait and see what Andre has, whatever. But don't give me I don't know.
Right.
You know.
He knows everything.
Well, not everything.
Mark,
what was that, Fred? What were those little face gestures?
Mark says, I listen to your show every day at work, and I was wondering if you guys could help me out with something. My girlfriend and I will be attending our first ever NFL game on November 20th. 24th, Broncos versus Patriots.
Well, that's a good game.
We'll be traveling from Newfoundland, where there is no football. Needless to say, we are pumped and can't wait. So I was wondering if you could tell me some good places to go on game day or give me some information on tailgating. My girlfriend is a huge Patriots fan, and I want her to try and experience the ultimate Patriots game. Well, Mark, I assume you're going to have a rental car, right? So, what I would say is get to the stadium as early as you can. Denver game. Is that a night game?
Yes, that's 8:30.
Yeah.
So lots will open at 4?
Lots will open 4 hours before game time. So if it's an 8 o'clock game, they'll open at 4 o'clock. But you can get here even earlier and park in retail for a while. And on site, there's a bunch of shops and restaurants called Patriot Place. You can check that out and do all that before the game and then, move your car into the general lots, 4 hours before the game or – and tailgate, And if you've never tailgated before, that word comes from the old station wagons that people used to have. The back of the car would open up sort of like a shelf, and you'd put your food on it, and you'd eat your food out of the back of your car.
Well, trucks, too.
Trucks, I mean.
Trucks have a tailgate.
That's true.
So they could technically probably do lunch the afternoon here and then maybe do some legit tailgates. You know, go to a restaurant in the middle of the day and then for evening do some legit tailgating. There'll be, you know, it's night game. You'll have some fires.
Yeah, so what you might do, Mark, is go on to the fan club registry on Patriots.com. There's a lot of fan clubs local that have real good tailgates on the day of game. Maybe give them a call and just say, hey, I'm from Newfoundland. Can I hook up with you guys?
Or Newfoundland.
Yeah, Newfoundland.
Do they have those
Newfoundland.
Are those dogs from there, Newfoundlands, and do they have like a lot of them there?
I don't know. I love Newfoundland dogs.
Yeah.
They're great.
I couldn't have one. They're just so sloppy and messy.
They're huge.
But, yeah, that's a cool dog.
Yeah.
We went to ice cream one night, and there were three of them just with their SUV with their heads out the back. And we played with them for like 5 minutes, and I went home, and I literally just had slobber all over me.
And when they want, well, this one Newfoundland that I knew, when he'd want you to go inside with him, he would literally take his jaw and put it around your wrist and lead you into the house. And he wouldn't hurt you.
Right.
But, I mean, they're gentle dogs, but they're huge.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
My wife would never let me.
Yeah. I used to love St. Bernards but they're a lot like St. Bernards.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those dogs are really cool, but to live with, I'm not.
It's a lifestyle.
The slobber and the food. I mean, can you imagine how much you spend on food to feed those beasts?
Right.
They can eat off the counter practically from, you know, eye level.
Yep. Let's see. Neil writes in, the injuries on defense have left, and Neil's from Canada, by the way.
We're big in Canada.
They've left us in bad shape. With Tlaib still out, McCurdy is far better than everyone around him, though it's too sad to take pride in, kind of like Andy being the healthiest guy at PFW. I'd say it last season, and I'll say it again. Did Brady make Welker's life easier, or did Welker make Brady's life easier? You guys claimed his catches would be made by a committee. I never did. So far, well, I did actually. So far, only his targets have been replaced. He keeps drives going, so there isn't three outs in a row. Paul, you said that Welker's short routes catches aren't that impressive. In turn, how impressive are those throws that have been carrying Brady's completion percentage? Clearly, there are more problems beyond Tom's accuracy, but I thought I would bring this up. I'd also like to point out the play of Gostkowski this year. After looking shaky last year in training camp, he's really looking good out there. It's good to have him going strong again. Yes, he's having a good year.
He's having a very good year.
Longest
stretch of his career, I believe.
There's no doubt that we're seeing one of the problems with third down is not having Wes Welker.
No question.
Right?
Also not having Gronkowski for all but one game.
But, I mean, if you had I'll say this, though. If you had a healthy Amendola, maybe we wouldn't be having these problems either.
Oh,
but
I think if you had Amendola healthy and Gronk healthy.
Yeah, but you haven't had that reliable guy that Brady trusts on third down.
That said, I think he's kind of referencing Paul more than the two of us. I always thought Welker was pretty good. I always thought the catches he made were good. I didn't poo-poo everything he did. And I think it's both. I think both players help make each other. I don't think Wes Welker's good enough that if he he knew this. That's why he's with Peyton Manning now. He's not good enough so he can just go anywhere and make the quarterback. He needs a good quarterback to work with.
Yep.
And so he's benefiting Manning just like Manning is benefiting him and just like he benefited Brady and Brady benefited him.
And my stance on Welker was no one person is going to do everything he did. That's how much respect I had. But at the time I thought that the offense would be okay because they'd get that production from a bunch of other people. And at the time, Hernandez was still here, and you know, you were still looking at a team that had everything that you had before with Amendola just simply replacing Welker.
You were going to have you had a big three. It was Hernandez, Gronkowski, Welker. You were still going to have a big three with Amendola, Hernandez, and Gronkowski, except you didn't have Gronkowski, you didn't have Hernandez, and Amendola's only been out there half the time.
So
you lost everything. Welker is a part of it, but it's not the whole story.
But I didn't expect anyone to just go walk in and have the numbers that Welker did. I mean, he's great, and he continues to be great. Look at what he's doing over in Denver.
And,
you know,
the other aspect of this, and I said this to you guys upstairs, I personally am going to be late to the party on Brady is done. Brady is diminishing because I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's good, and I tend to make excuses. I tend to say the offensive line has sucked. He's getting pressured. I tend to say the rookies are dropping too many balls, all of that. But at some point, I'm going to look back and say, yeah, it was about a year ago or 8 months ago that he started to not be the same Tom Brady. His accuracy went, his this went.
Well, unless he rises back to the level that he's been.
No, I'm not saying it's now. Yeah. I'm saying at some point, I am going to be behind the curve of people saying he's done.
Yeah.
I will be late to the party because generally I assume he is not the problem.
Right.
Even though, like, I thought he had his worst game on Sunday. I thought he had a lot of missed, just flat-out missed throws that didn't appear to have anything to do with timing.
I think the Jets get in his head. I really do.
Well, the pressure, I think the pressure always gets in his head. Mm-hmm. Anytime he gets banged around, especially early, I think it gets in his head, and I think it adversely affects him the rest of the way.
508-2. Oh, Alex, I was just going to pick up his call, and he dropped off.
He'd had enough.
I didn't do it. Let's see. Gareth writes in and says that Fred should probably apologize to the nation of Wales.
All the whales swimming the ocean?
Maybe this is the Eric fan in me, but I've got to pick you up on your English accent when reading out the email from Richard from Wales in yesterday's show. Feel free to use the accent if you read this out, as we all talk like Hugh Grant over here. I'm English, but my grandfather was a proud Welshman, which is where I got my Welsh name from. And he would have been outraged that you associated the English accent with Wales. He'd have thrown leeks at you in anger. You should probably apologize to the sheep shaggers at some, as some hate the English nearly as much as we hate the Scottish. And then he sent a video for me to learn how to do a Welsh accent.
So Welsh is Hugh Grant?
No, Welsh is English.
What?
He's saying I could read this in an English accent.
Like Hugh Grant.
Like Hugh Grant, because he's joking that we all sound like Hugh Grant. But they don't.
Is there a distinct difference?
Between Welsh and English?
Yeah.
They think so. And I think there probably is, just like, you know, there are different dialects here in the States. I mean, they speak English words, but the dialect is different, you know?
Okay.
They roll their R's a little bit, you know?
Like the Spaniards.
Okay. You know, you live and learn.
Well, let's be honest. You're not capable of differentiating.
I could do any, with practice, I could do any dialect.
No, you could.
Yes, I could.
No, you could.
Absolutely.
Give me a New York.
I could do New York. I used to live there. Absolutely.
New York. But isn't there like a Connecticut and a Rhode Island?
Yes,
that
there
are close
is. There's a Rhode
York?
Island. There's a Rhode Island accent that is more toward New York than there is New England. There is, and I can pick them out too. I hear these very well.
Sure you do.
Oh, I absolutely do. Better than our friend Eric. I'll tell you that.
Is this a challenge?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This could be an off-season challenge.
Sure.
Who can do a better?
Well, what the test could be. We're, you know, we don't know. You guys know, and you play us the accent, and we have to say where it's from.
Oh, so you're not saying you can recreate it?
No. I can detect it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
and I can recreate it, but not as good.
Well.
Yeah. So.
I think that would be a fun, though, if we put you somehow in the other studio and had you do accents or something, and then we have people vote on them and who did them better.
Right. We could do that, too.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, because he thinks he's, you know.
Oh, yeah, he thinks he can do anything.
Right.
In general, he thinks he can do anything.
Alex is back on the line. He's in Chicago. Hey, Alex.
Is he?
I thought so.
Still flashing over there.
Alex.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good, there you are.
All right, well, yeah, obviously this is a tough loss. You know, first of all, I want to say F the Jets.
Yeah.
This is such a tough loss that I have to look at it from different perspectives. Just so I can feel better about it. So I came up with a few things here. If you would have asked me if I would rather have lost to the Saints and beat the Jets, I would say I'd rather, you know, beat the Saints and lose to the Jets, regardless of if they're in our division or not, because they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, so you say you would rather beat the Saints and lose to the Jets.
Yeah, definitely. Just because the Saints were 5-0, more confidence builder, you know. The Jets, we're not going to see them again this season. It doesn't really matter, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's not guaranteed you won't see them again this season.
Right.
Well, the Jets, they're not going to go to the playoffs, so.
Well.
Okay.
I don't know, man. There's no team that I enjoy beating or hate losing to more than the Jets.
Well, the Patriots always have that early season loss to a bad team. I think we got this one out of the way this year.
Okay.
You know, last year it was the Cardinals, 2010 it was the Browns, so.
So you think that 4-2 record of the Jets is complete bull?
Are they 4-2?
Oh, 4-3. I'm sorry, 4-3.
Yeah, 4-3, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, they play good, I mean, but I'm not buying it. The
okay.
Jets, you know?
So you think it's a phony record?
Yeah, I just think they're not going to do so well in the second half of the season. I don't know their schedule, but...
I might agree with you, but I'm just getting your opinion.
They have a tough stretch.
Yeah.
I know they have since in New Orleans,
and the second
right?
The thing yeah. is, if you would have told me that the Broncos would lose, I would have felt a lot better about the loss to the Jets before the Broncos game. So I'm glad Peyton Manning can't go undefeated. He's already going to break Tom Brady's touchdown record, and that sucks as it is. So.
Where's he at now for touchdowns?
Yeah, where is he at? He's near like 27, 28 or something.
I will tell you momentarily as I flip
through seven games.
He has 25 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. So he's well on his way.
And how many games left?
He's got nine games left.
Yeah.
So he's more than halfway there.
Right.
Before the halfway point. But right. still, that's I don't think he's going to do it.
Oh,
personally.
He could slow down. I mean,
the Denver, yeah. the gets cold, a little yeah, windy, a little
true.
Snowy.
Yeah.
So, plus Denver.
Well, the real question is, where was Brady at through seven games?
I think he was ahead of the pace because that season, I mean, they started off with a torrid pace, and then they kind of slowed down a little bit.
They had a stretch there where they
yeah.
slowed down. But I don't know. Do we have a media guy down here?
No. Paul usually has that.
Alex, I would just ask you a question. Regardless of who you wanted to beat, lose to, aren't you concerned that the Patriots aren't playing very well right now?
Yeah, I am concerned about the defense. This looks like the defense of old.
About
I mean,
the offense?
Oh, God, it just looks horrible. I mean,
yeah, Dante but the defense Hightower didn't look horrible until the covered. Injuries.
And what about the offense that has two games, one of 12 on third down, and then your good game was 5 of 15, only 33%?
That's what I'm more worried right. about.
You
the
have seven first downs on third downs in three
yeah.
games. Brady's getting whacked around more than he ever has in his career, completing less than 50% of his passes more than he ever has in his career. I know Gronk's back, and Fred says Amendola's coming back, and Vereen's I'm concerned about the way the team is playing right now,
yeah.
regardless of who you're beating
yeah.
or losing
I'm more
to.
Concerned about the offense than I am the defense. I know what's wrong with the defense. They're hurt. They're banged up. But it's hard to put a finger on this is the problem with the offense.
Well, I think they're hurt and banged up. They just got Gronk back. Amendola hasn't been out
but
there consistently enough.
But that doesn't explain the play of the line.
Yeah, no, the offensive line has just stunk this year, in my yeah. opinion. They haven't played well enough.
All right, Alex, thanks for the call. Let's go to Bill and Avon. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. What's
up, Bill?
This Avon,
hey,
Mass?
Avon, Mass, the okay. smallest town in Massachusetts, I think.
All right. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure. You know, it's a really nice neighborhood, but it's between, you know, two not-so-nice areas. But anyway, I got a question for you. What did you guys think when Belichick decided to take the ball in overtime instead of kicking it off to the Jets to see what they were going to do with it?
Oh, I think you do that every time in overtime because a touchdown wins it, remember.
Yeah, I know, but
it's not like
really
college.
Score a touchdown there? I mean, what did they do in the second half that showed that they were going to score a touchdown?
Well, you
can't
never
assume
know.
You suck.
What happens if the other team scores a touchdown first? Then you never get
right.
to see the ball.
You win the toss and never have the chance to touch the ball.
Right. It's not like college where, you know, you guaranteed to have a possession.
No, and I totally understand that. But the way the Jets were moving the ball in the second half, they weren't showing anything that they were going to score a touchdown. The way the Patriots were moving the ball, I mean, it looked to me like they were just taking it down away from themselves. Say the Jets go down and kick three. Now, four down territory throughout the field. I mean, just to me, like, I would be like, all right, well, let's put the defense on and, you know, take the ball after the Jets, do whatever.
Yeah, but let's just say that, you know, okay, we do that. We defer or whatever. We get the ball second. And Jets get one or two first downs. Chances are we're going to have bad field position. You know, but if you do the same, and that's what I was hoping. I said in the blog, you know, I'm just hoping that the Patriots get around midfield here so that you can have a chance to pin them back inside the 20, and then it becomes a field position thing. You know, the last thing you want is to get the ball first and not move the ball. Okay, now they're guaranteed to have good field position on their first possession.
Right. If you possess the ball,
yeah.
three good things can happen. You can score a touchdown, you can score a field goal, or as Fred said, you can move the ball some so that if you get into a field position game, you have set that game up to be in your favor. Right? I
right.
mean, there's like three good things that can...
Right.
No, unfortunately, nothing good really happened,
right.
but...
Well, they actually did. They got to the 35 or 40, and yeah. the punt went into the...
Right.
You know, it hit inside the 5, but it rolled into the...
Right.
You know, I was hoping that he could pin him inside the 10 there. But, yeah, I think in overtime you have to take the ball first.
Yeah, I think any coach that didn't would get really
yeah.
criticized.
Really? All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was just thinking about it differently when I was watching the game.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, I appreciate that. And, Andy, did you get my tweet yesterday about the rack of the day?
Oh, with the girl doing push-ups?
Yeah.
Holy guacamole, yes. Keep them coming.
That's something that you got to put onto the show, you know, like just tweet out to everybody.
That was worthy of the rack of the day, I'll tell you. Thank you for that. Keep them coming.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Bill from Avon.
There was this woman doing push-ups with not much wearing, and she barely had to go down before her chest was touching.
Wow.
Kind of like you.
Juan from Texas, haven't emailed in a long time. Please don't ever let Scott call again. How could you not see that picking Tom was the luckiest draft pick ever? Oh, that was that call yesterday.
Yeah.
There's no way they knew how good he was going to be. If they did, they would have drafted him earlier than 199. But anyway, what about Casey Hampton and Steve Breston? They're still free agents and would probably be upgrades compared to some of our current players.
I don't know much on Steve Breston. My understanding, I think Borges was the one. I think Casey Hampton weighs about 400 and something pounds now. He's really ballooned up. He was good, obviously, in his heyday.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's really capable of competing on an NFL field right now based on what I've heard.
Gus in Boston writes in, I felt the need to bring this up after your ranking of the last three Patriots offensive coordinators last week. I'm growing quite tired of Josh McDaniels and his play calling. It seems as though every week the team starts out in a nice rhythm with a good run-pass balance, and McDaniels always feels the need to mess with it by going pass heavy. It's like he feels it necessary to throw it 50 times a game regardless of how well the run game is going or how the O-line is playing. His second-half adjustments are also non-existent, causing the Patriots to be one of the worst third-quarter teams this year. Also, what is his infatuation with a run right up the middle on second down after an incompletion on first down? This strategy goes back to his previous stint here as offensive coordinator, and if I see it again, I may throw something at my TV.
Don't.
Even more maddening is the weekly fake double run reverse. Why does he feel the need to tinker so much instead of sticking to what works? Really, what is working, though? Prior to the season, a lot of talking fatheads were saying the Patriots need to rely on the run while the new receivers got on the same page as Brady. Well, it seems as though that this thought process has gone completely by the wayside. I'd love to get your thoughts on the play calling and keep up the good work.
I agree 1,000%. I'd like to see the offensive line play better. I'd like to see them run the football better. In terms of criticizing Josh, he openly talked about yesterday that they're not good enough in the third quarter. And that's one of the, you know, third down in the third quarter are the two things he mentioned yesterday that they really need to work on. But the balance thing, now maybe he's not living up to it, but he has talked a lot this year, in my opinion, about wanting to be balanced. He is more than I feel like ever has been talked about. They don't usually paint themselves into a corner like that. And he has said, I want to be balanced. And when it gets out of whack, I want to try to balance it back out. And I don't remember them ever saying stuff like that before. It was always, you know, whatever it takes to move the football, whatever it takes to score points. And he has emphatically said, I'm going to say at least three conference calls when he talks on Tuesdays, I want to stay balanced. When it gets out of whack, I try to bring it back in balance, blah, 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 blah.
Do you think that there's anything going on between him and Brady?
No.
That no. McDaniels is trying to keep it balanced and Brady keeps saying, no, I got to pass the ball?
No. Because I would think you'd see some evidence of that. And I find it strange. As soon as Brady goes to the sideline, he and Josh get together. Almost no one else is involved. Like, none of the receivers. I feel like it used to be, like, Welker on one side and somebody else on the other. And now it's just Brady and McDaniels.
Nobody else knows the plays.
So I certainly think they're on the same page. I don't know if they're on the same page as everybody else. And the third quarter thing is interesting because of what we see on the sideline. We see Bill with the defense all the time, right? You know, he basically, when the offense is on the field, he's got his back turned, he's drawing plays, every once in a while he'll look over his shoulder. I wonder what's happening at halftime. Is it the same thing? Is it all Josh's adjustments at halftime?
Yeah.
How involved is Bill with offensive halftime adjustments, or is he just with the defense like it looks like he is on the field?
Good question. Good question.
I'll ask it, and he'll say, I don't know.
I'll ask Josh.
Maybe I'll try that next week.
Stefan in London, what's up with the third down percentage? We were talking about it. I think we're the only team worse. The only team worse than us is the Jags.
That is not true. I believe we are 30th or 29th. We're not. It's the Jags. The Giants are way down there with Eli. We are 28th, actually, in third down conversion percentage. St. Louis is below us. They are 31st. The Jags are 32nd. And I believe the Giants are 29th and the Cardinals are 30th. There's four teams below us.
Okay. Do you think it's lacking the slot position? Well, I think that's part of it.
But they've had a slot position. I mean, they've had Edelman, they've had Amendola.
Right, but I think if Amendola had been out here for seven games, I think we wouldn't be as bad.
I'm not so sure about that, by the way. Because in week one, when he was out there, both healthy to start and then injured afterwards, he was not getting the third downs like Welker.
Week one,
there is a knack for Welker.
That's week one.
See,
I think
you people miss it, and I saw it the other night a couple times. He just squirts through for that extra three.
I understand.
That is the difference.
And I think Amendola can do the same thing.
No, he can't. I'm done with Amendola.
As for the pick six, I haven't seen anyone mention Gronk's route was terrible. A five and out should be a sharp cut, and he curls instead of making a 90-degree cut. Still, it's a bad read by Brady. I've heard people say that he kind of rounded that off and allowed the defender to get in front of him. But Brady then said he saw the defender in front of him and threw it anyway. Right. And he shouldn't have thrown it. But it could have been, you know, who knows?
He certainly has a reason to potentially be rusty on the game field. Tired. You might round it off if you're tired.
But even then, Brady's throw was kind of low. Was at the waist of the defender. When you've got Gronk, who's got 6 inches on the guy, throw it up there.
No throw to Gronk should ever be low.
Right.
And that's part of my when in doubt throw to Gronk. Give him a chance to make a play up on the ball like no other guy can.
Right. As for this running into the receiver rule, it's ridiculous. I don't care if it's put in for safety. It's no different from the O-lineman running into the runner to get them a few extra inches. Try telling rugby players over here they're not allowed and you would get laughed at coming from a person who plays both sports.
Just a follow-up. Yesterday I mentioned how Bruschi said it was a good rule. Ross Tucker, the former Patriots lineman who is now a columnist,
he's on the serious
team, also says it's a good rule because he used to get killed by people who would do the push thing and double up. So guys on both sides of the ball that have actually played the game in that area think it's a good safety measure.
I don't mind the rule. I just wish we knew it. Our problem is we didn't know the freaking rule. If we had known it, we would have won that game.
We didn't know the specific rule, definitely.
Right.
We knew of a rule that limited.
Right. Now that we know it, it's a fine rule.
Well, and I also, I said this yesterday, a coach now lost a game basically because of that rule. Not only because, but it was a big part. That's going to get rid of that issue, I think. No one's going to chance losing a game because of a stupid penalty like that, right?
Right.
So you've cleaned it up. You wanted to clean it up. You've cleaned it up now.
Yep.
Belichick had to take one on the chin for it to happen.
It cost a team a game. It won't happen again. And that's why a lot of the, you know, they talk about these fines. If you make it a suspension and it costs your team a game, maybe now you won't be so, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to keep playing the way I play.
Right.
Well, you know.
Well, your coach won't accept that.
Right.
Your defensive coordinator won't, because you're hurting the entire organization.
Right. That's how you change a culture.
That's right.
Throw a bomb in it. And that's the way you do it. Eric is in Texas, and it's Eric with a
Thank
K.
Thank God. Now I don't have to see him.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, not Eric Scalavino.
No, definitely not. Don't worry about that. long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to heard what Andy was saying about the offense. I completely agree. We just look so flat on the sidelines. You know, when Brady comes off, he kind of sits there, and there's no emotion, and the offensive line's sitting, and the receivers are sitting, and something's going on there. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's weird. And, you know, Mankins clearly tried to shift that the other day. I think that was, late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, when he flipped out. But I think part of it is a lot of these veterans are used to, okay, a couple drives didn't work, we'll get it going. But they're not getting it going. They're never getting it moving.
I wonder how many guys that on offense, when they come off the field in a three and out or whatever, a failed third down conversion, feel that they did their job. I wonder how many guys feel that way.
Right now, I'd say zero. Should.
I wonder.
I think it should be zero right now, literally.
Yeah,
I think they're all failing. Brady, the running backs, the tight ends, the receivers, and certainly the offensive line. To me, not one of them should walk off and be like, it was the other 10 because I'm fine.
Right. But I wonder how many people can honestly say, forget about field, can honestly say, I did my job. I did my job. I was asked to do X, and I did it.
And I'd also wonder how many of those people feel that on Sunday and still feel it on Monday when they go back and Dante shows them what they actually did, not what they think they did in their head.
So and I ask this because when Logan Mankins gets on the sideline and starts ripping into his teammates, I wonder what they're thinking. Well, what do you know? I did what I was supposed to. You know, I wonder what they're thinking. And I'd also like to know what he's saying, but, you know, but yeah, I just wonder how are people receiving the criticism?
I heard he actually said, we're playing so freaking bad that the guy from PFW is criticizing us and they never criticize anything.
That's right. They love us.
Yeah. I also had another question real quick. Brian Waters, he used to play offensive line for us.
Yeah, guard, right guard.
One year.
And he's back in the league now, but he's not with us.
He did not want to play anywhere but Texas, so he held out.
He just sat out the entire year.
Yeah, he sat out, didn't want to play football unless it was in Texas, and finally, I don't know why, but we released him, and I guess it was the right thing to do, and then he was free to sign, and he ended up signing with the Texans.
Cowboys.
Yeah. Cowboys.
Same story.
We could have used him. I was really looking forward to him coming back, whether it was last year or this year, you know?
Yeah, he was a pro's pro.
He just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't going to come here.
And by the way, he had that history in Kansas City. He would always want more money and hold out a little bit, and they'd give him more money.
And didn't want to do...
So he's that kind of guy that I want what I want, and... You know, more power to him.
And good enough to get it.
Right.
If you're a pro bowler, and he was a pro bowler here, the one year he was here, you have leverage.
Yep. You know, it's a shame, but he wanted to play in Texas. That's where his family's from.
Yeah. Well, I can't blame him. It's real nice down here. It's about 80 degrees right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
It is right, not 80 here. Well, it's getting colder by the
way. Get into work.
Yeah, but I
see you, Eric.
Okay, Eric. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Eldridge, what's your beef for the day?
Y'all cut me off yesterday. It's my beef of the day.
Yeah.
English next time.
Oh, his cell phone is not working.
Yeah, even when it was, I had no idea what
to say.
All right,
try calling back, Eldridge. That is a note that we didn't bring up. Rozai Dowling was signed to the Jets practice squad.
So if we play in the postseason, he'll be a captain.
I didn't know he still had practice squad eligibility, which just shows you how little he got on the field here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Because I thought when you were on IR, you lost.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I guess not. But are they just tweaking us now?
Well, no. Now it's kind of irrelevant, right? I mean, as much as I gave the guy a hard time, you're probably not going to play the Jets again.
No, I know that. But
I think they're signing a big, physical, long-armed corner. You know, they have Antonio Cromartie, a guy with a similar maybe makeup. So they're probably just taking a flyer on a guy. Like they did with... Mabin from the Bills. You know, you guys that don't work out, you take a flyer on them if you don't have enough talent.
Jeff from Florida, welcome back. Carter, super news about Tlaib. Is Carter here because Buchanan didn't maintain lane and contain responsibilities against the Jets? Or he says he is here because Buchanan didn't do that. Can Andy talk a little bit about his Wilson Hart rankings? The Saints, during a bye week, jumped above the Chiefs, who won again, as well as the Colts, who remain stuck at four despite knocking off another unbeaten team. And Tom Terrific will make his debut this week against the Finns. So in Andy's rankings, it's not that you won, it's how you won, right?
It's all encompassing. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into specifics, but it includes all the important aspects of football. And you're smart enough to figure out what those are on both sides of the ball. And how do you compare to the rest of the league in a lot of those various categories? Victory is a part of it. Having a winning record is a part of my index. But it's not the only thing, and it's far from being the only thing. There are a lot of other aspects that go into it. So, you know, how you play matters. Turning the ball over, third down conversions, points scored, points allowed. There's a million different categories that are important in the NFL. And, you know, so it doesn't always look like a lot of people think it should. You know, the regular power rankings, which is just, oh, this guy should be here, whatever. You know, the Carolina Panthers have a very good defense. They're a 3-3 football team, but they jumped up seven spots this week.
Let's see. Brett from Leominster. It was nice meeting you, Fred, at the Stop and Shop Healthy Kids Summit yesterday. I was wondering if anyone from PFW in Progress is going to be there. I was expecting Eric, but was hoping for Paul or Andy. It was not expecting the boss. That they had that here at the field, and we were actually in the middle of taping our show at the time.
You were letting the cameraman in.
Right. That was a great day watching my kids play in the field and meet some of the players. It's events like that and the training camp activities that really give the Patriots and Kraft family a good name. If possible, please thank whoever is responsible for the good day. All right. We'll pass it along, Brett. Thanks for the feedback.
Who's responsible?
Stop and Shop, our friends at Stop and Shop and our community relations department.
Donna Spigarolo.
Donna Spigarolo.
Fine job.
Yep. She's always running around. Very busy.
She is very busy.
Very busy all the time. Lots of emails coming in. Lots of emails. But Eldridge is going to give it another call on his cell phone. Hey, Eldridge, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Oh, much better. Much better.
Oh, I'm sorry. My car picked up. I was cleaning my car up. I got the headpiece on.
But my car picked up the phone on the inside. Question is, we got Carter, right? I heard that we signed him.
Yep, Carter's back. Welcome back.
And we lost him again. Hello? Okay. Eldridge is having, he must be in a bad cell.
No, he said it's something to do with his car picking up the phone. I mean, he must have some sort of Bluetooth connection that when he gets near it, it picks up instead of the phone or technology.
Jake writes in, if you were in charge and sitting in the big chair in place of Belichick, what changes would you try to make to help the team during the season, if any?
During the season? So, like, right now, what would I do?
Well, I mean, I think they're doing it. They're picking up the phone. They're seeing who's available. You know, a lot of people accused us of a little conspiracy theory this morning because on AskPFW on Patriots.com in the big section on the website, we had a picture of Sanders.
Emmanuel
Sanders, and people said, oh, do they know something about a trade?
Who said that?
Well, it said trade wins, question mark, and then it had a picture of Sanders. So we had a couple people on Twitter say, oh, maybe they know something. Let's say if they were interested in Sanders, which they might be.
Well, they were. We knew they were.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen until after the Steelers game. You know, don't you think the Steelers, there's no way their trade would happen before that game.
Trading deadline is this week.
Oh, then it's not going to happen.
Isn't it Friday at 4?
I thought it was the end of October. Oh, it's already the end of October. Yeah.
I believe it's Friday at 4.
Yeah, today's the 22nd.
Yeah. Oh. Is today only the 22nd?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. What's the date today? Anyone know? The 23rd. So the deadline's next Wednesday or next Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Tuesday at 4. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not before the Steelers game. I mean, it's not after
so
the
that's
Steelers.
Not happening. But I would be – I'd be
Hakeem Nicks, I'd be making that
call.
Yeah,
I'd be calling and I'd see who's available, and I'm sure they're doing that, you know?
Oh, I'm sure they are.
But you need a two to tango. And
it's also not a be-all, cure-all.
Yeah, I mean, when you call up the Giants and you're looking for Hakeem Nicks, they know that you need him, and they're going to hold out for as much as you want. And
Hakeem Nicks is a pretty good player that – it's not going to be an Aqib Talib where maybe only a few teams want him. I think Hakeem Nicks, there's a lot of teams that wouldn't mind acquiring a guy that can make plays with his ability.
Yep. Melvin from Tennessee says, I'm now working in a skilled rehab center with older adults, normally around 80 years old, for physical therapy until December. Yesterday I was performing an exercise with a woman and noticed she started breathing hard. I was getting ready to ask her if she needed a break or a rest, but it all came out together. So I said, ma'am, do you need a breast? And she said, what? So I thought, what would Fred do? Fred would just lie and keep talking. So I said, sorry, ma'am, I was a little breathy. Do you need a break? I'm glad my teacher was not around. Remind me, Fred, of when you asked that kid if he was hung.
Yes.
If Andy was my teacher, he would have given me an A. This is a true story.
Do you need a breast? Some 80-year-old woman. Her breast is down by her belly.
Probably made her day.
Yeah, but now she thinks he wants to, you know, get it on.
Sure. I'd like to request that young man that I had yesterday.
Next time she's going to be lubed up and ready to go.
Okay. Alex from Philly. Are we just snake bitten this year? What is the solution on offense? I know the league stinks, even though it seems like we say that every year. But other than hoping guys get healthy, which hasn't worked so far, I don't see the improvement that is supposedly coming. What are you guys feeling about this Fins game? I see another D-line that is going to harass Brady all day because our O-line can't block anybody good. I see another 30 targets for Gronk because no one else can get open or catch. I see Mike Wallace beating Arrington, anybody who was not Talib deep. So basically, I see a loss. Please bring me back to my senses. Look, they've done it before, and they're going to do it again. They're going to take Wallace out of the game. Gronk is a week more into it. Amendola's going to be back. The O-line.
Whoa. How do you know Amendola's going to be back?
I'm telling you.
Just because he's practicing
on Wednesday?
I'm telling
you, he's going to be back. Okay.
Okay.
Amendola's going to be back. The O-line had the riot act read to them, so they're going to be better. Ridley's going to be your number one back. We're going to roll. We're going to win.
Their offensive line sucks.
Yeah.
They've given up more points than they've scored on the season. That's not good. That's not the markings of a good football team. They still have a young quarterback, and Chandler Jones is going to have 3 sacks.
Okay. Yeah,
and the biggest thing I agree with you on is Gronk.
Yeah.
I think you're going to look for Gronk. Maybe I'm being naive. I have been, like, cleared of the health concerns with him. I thought he looked fine last week. Now I'm ready for Gronk to just dominate. Gronk to have a stretch here where for a month I think he can carry your offense. Multiple touchdowns.
Well, I'm not asking him to do anything he never did before.
Right, just know? Average a touchdown a game.
Right. That's fine.
But I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just asking him, like kind of like the offensive line, I'm just asking you to live up to your reputation, resume, paycheck, draft status. Right. I want Gronk to be Gronk. If Gronk is Gronk, we have a much better chance to win every game we play.
Robin in Alaska, I'm in Andy's boat about not yet blaming Brady. Another emailer yesterday also said it said it well when they described seeing two of the wide receivers literally running at each other face to face and doing the what the body language. It's difficult to wonder about Brady's accuracy when things like that can be seen happening on the field.
Yes. I agree. That said, I thought Brady had an off day. There were a number of times your guys broke free, you know, that little hole between the corner and the safety where there's that 5-yard window, whatever. And he just flat out missed a few times. And I don't like seeing that. But as I've said, we saw that over the years. We always had stretches where we'd say, Brady, he's just doesn't have that great accuracy today. They're not good enough to overcome it now. They're not going to get the next chance on the next drive. They're going to go 3 and out again, partially from him, partially from the offensive line giving up too many sacks. It's a team, you know, losing is a team effort, and they're doing it together.
Nobel from Virginia writes it.
Nobel?
Maybe Noble. I don't know. N-O-B-E-L. It's a prize. Does Drew Bledsoe have a Super Bowl ring? I know he got one from 2001, but does that count towards him when people debate quarterbacks? We say Thomas 3, Manning is 1, Marino has none. But how does it work when you are on an important cog of a team, but not the starter of the big game? He did have that huge start against the Steelers, so that has to count for something, right? Oh. Just wondering what your thoughts. Love the show. Keep up the good work. In Eric Blows.
That's not an official statistic.
No, but I think when you're saying, I understand what he's saying. Oh, does Bledsoe have a ring? The answer is no.
Right.
Because he wasn't the starting quarterback on a team that won the Super Bowl.
Correct.
So.
He led his team to a Super Bowl the first time, 96.
Right.
But, I mean, he contributed. He didn't start against the Steelers. He came in off the bench and threw a touchdown pass.
Correct.
But, yeah, he has won physically, obviously, but in that mythical keeping track of,
right,
he doesn't.
Right.
Because that's just not how it works.
That's right.
But none of that is official. That's not an official stat.
What do you mean it's not an official stat? Like,
I mean, any quarterbacks, it's a little easier.
It's an official part of a player's resume.
Yeah, but my point would be, like, Stephen Neal, how many Super Bowl rings does he have?
Right. He's got 3.
Well, no, he doesn't, because he was on the sideline for a one. Like, it's very how do you give a guy a ring?
Yeah, but you don't really talk about that unless you're talking about quarterbacks.
Right,
you
know? But I just think it's hard to do that sometimes. It's obvious with some. Quarterbacks, it's
right.
Generally obvious.
That's what I'm saying.
But even like in basketball or other sports, like where some guys move around or you're like the second or third best player on a team, how many rings, you know, he never won a ring, or he won 5 rings. Well, if he was only a bit player on 3 of them.
Well, no, but this thing is only inserted into a conversation when you're talking about the best player on a team. Because of him, they have a ring, or does, you know, even he couldn't get them a ring, or as good as he was, he never had a ring.
But like Charles Barkley never won a ring.
Right.
But had he held on one more year and just say he was like the 10th guy on a bench somewhere who was fat, did he get his ring?
But I think, yes, I think Barkley is good enough a player where you say, boy, as good as he was, he never got a ring. He couldn't help his team to a ring.
But I'm saying, would you give it to him if he won one, you know, when he clearly shouldn't really be playing anymore? He's not that good. He was, you know,
it depends on how much he was playing. If he was still a starter,
see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very unofficial.
I would give him the he has a ring.
But
if
he's a backup, it doesn't count.
No. No.
So does Kevin McHale have rings? Did he ever start?
Oh.
Sixth man.
Yeah, he started enough to have rings. And
I just think it's such a silly sort of.
It is a gauge. I think it's a legitimate
subjective
gauge.
No, it isn't. It means nothing.
It does mean something.
What does it mean? Marino sucked?
It means that your contribution led to a championship in whatever sport you were in.
But it doesn't mean your lack of contribution is the reason you didn't
win. It doesn't, but it is a measuring stick. It has to be. If winning a championship is the ultimate goal, then it has to be a
So if the Miami Heat continue to win championships,
yes.
Chris Bosh is every bit as good as LeBron James or something because he has the same number? Like,
well, no, but you go by the best player.
But Dwayne Wade has him with him, now, has him with Shaq.
If Chris Bosh goes to another team and they win a ring, you say, wow, Chris Bosh.
I think it's all very subjective, and you're trying
to oversimplify. Of course it's subjective.
Oversimplify.
It's very subjective, but I think it is a measuring stick.
So Barry Sanders.
I'm with Paul. I don't think you say Dan Marino was no good because he never had a ring, but it's important. You know, John Elway got two at the end. That was on his mind. You know, this great career is not as great as it could be unless I win a championship.
But like Jim Kelly.
Right.
So you'd think so much more of him if he had won one
Absolutely.
Of four?
Absolutely. Yep. That, you know, whatever they used to call it, the shot, not this, what did they call it? The
K-gun?
K-gun was not good enough to win a Super Bowl. And they had plenty of chances to do it.
So it had nothing to do with anything else. It was Jim Kelly. Win or lose, it was
but
Jim Kelly.
Whatever those other reasons that were keeping them back, he wasn't enough to get him over the hump. And I'm saying there were other reasons probably that hurt them. But he couldn't get him, you know.
So Brady's not good anymore.
He used
to be good.
We'll see.
Because he won his titles back then, but now he's not a title
winner. We'll see.
It all seems so flawed.
Yeah.
And Eli Manning, he's good. He's a two-time Super Bowl winner, even though he sucks right now.
Right now, he sucks. But I think, again, you look at that team with a critical eye and you see that there's a lot of other things going on.
No, I know. But so what if Eli Manning didn't have twice where he had like a month and a half of great football? Because both times they kind of got hot and won. So, you know, I don't know exactly when they kicked in, but December, January.
Well, look.
Then you'd say Eli Manning.
I know.
So he's a Hall of Famer now, and he would have sucked then.
Those 2 months of great football showed that inside Eli Manning, he had the chance to perform under the gun, in the clutch, in the biggest moments. He had that in him. If he hadn't done it, then he.
So then it all just boils down to like a couple plays.
Well, yeah, but if he hadn't done that, then there would be never any proof that he could do that. So now we have something to judge him by. In the biggest moments, he could perform. I think that's saying something.
It says something. The whole ring thing annoys me. Like, this is a perfect, you know, did Drew Bledsoe have a Super Bowl ring?
Well, I'll look.
Well, he has one.
Here's where I'll say that, you know, I'll agree with you. Let's say that Eli Manning did everything he did, yet the Patriots, you know, had connected with Gronkowski in the end zone. I think you still look at it with a critical eye and say, Eli Manning is still every bit the quarterback we thought he was before that Hail Mary.
No one would say that, though. No, everyone would say he's never been able to get over the hump.
I said the people with the critical eye would, because he did everything he could to get that team in a position to play.
But he would be looked at so differently. So differently.
Well,
without the ring.
Yeah, for those who aren't looking at it.
But there's a lot of those.
Yes. Yeah. But I think those with a critical eye and paying attention to detail would say, yeah, he's still a great quarterback. The defense just couldn't stop a Hail Mary in the end zone. You know? So, anyway, Paulie in L.A. says, did anyone notice? Paulie in L.A., we haven't heard from him in a long time.
Paulie.
Yeah.
Who's so, Paulie in L.A.?
He's the guy that does the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His name's Paulie?
I thought it was Paulie.
We haven't heard from him in a long time.
No. He says, did anyone notice on the broadcast that Brady was talking to Josh and pointing to his knuckle on his right hand? He did it during week 5 as well. It looked like he hurt it.
I didn't notice it back then. I think he's dealing with something in both. I think he had a lingering issue from the Detroit preseason game on his left wrist or something, which I think he's actually been wearing something under the play call band. And then this week, yes, he was definitely gesturing the hand.
And flexing it.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of that.
Maybe that's why he's struggling with his accuracy.
Could be. And also, Gronk never reached up with his broken arm to catch the ball. They even mentioned it on TV.
Well, he never reached up on that last, the one-handed one.
Right.
There were other times he reached up with that arm.
But was it you that had the point that while he was, you know, babying that arm early in practice, he might have gotten to the habit of catching one-armed?
It wasn't me, but who knows?
Yeah.
Not a good habit.
No, it's not a good habit. Let's get rid of that habit.
I'm not worried about Gronk's arm anymore. I've moved on.
Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, Andrew. You ever been to Billy Ogden's before it closed up there?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That was a good one. How long have you lived in Buffalo?
24 years.
44 years?
Yes. I'm 24. And
24 years. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I told John on Patriots Playbook yesterday. I became a fan in 05, so I never got to see the championship. And I learned the game of football in 03. My brother sort of introduced me to it, having played on a little league. So I played 1 year in Equity Hill, and then I became a Patriots fan in 05.
Okay.
But, it's weird because Rob Dixon,
I don't know. I think that's a decline in his performance. Last year, he was more of a role player where he showed up in big moments where he got a sack fumble or a big, you know, maybe intercept or cause someone to make a big play, but he's not really doing much.
I agree with you. I don't think he has been, for about 3 years now, one of the biggest playmakers on this team, consistently coming up with some sort of being around the football. And this year he hasn't really done that. He hasn't really shown up.
Well, you know, and thanks for the call, Andrew. You know, this could be one of those things where it's like a domino effect. Throughout the season, before Wilfork got hurt, people were saying, you know, we're not seeing that much out of Wilfork this year. And maybe that affects Ninkovich. You know,
sure.
It's a domino effect.
Oh, it's certain. Team defense is team defense. There's a lot involved with it. But he's made his name here being sort of an impact guy and showing up. And he just, for whatever reason this year, I don't think he's hurt. I haven't seen any signs anywhere, talking to him, training room, anything, any sign that he's hurt. It also could just be one of those things. It's not easy to maintain that level, you know, playmaking wise. He was a Pro Bowler, in my opinion. When you look at, like, the crooked numbers, quote-unquote, the sacks, the interceptions, the forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, he's been a Pro Bowl-level talent. It's not easy to keep up that pace, especially when I don't think you're truly a Pro Bowl player. You're kind of a starter, you're a good player, but you're not elite. You don't have elite skills.
Right.
It's hard to keep up those numbers and keep always making forced fumble, fumble recovery, interception.
But the good news is that it looks like Jones is starting to...
I'm all in.
Yeah, he's starting to make plays on his own where he's
winning, your fingers, by the way.
He's winning one-on-one battles, and, you know, even when he doesn't quite get to the quarterback, he's around. He's making his presence known in the backfield, and that's going to help eventually, I think, Ninkovich.
And it helps everybody to have him, even when he's not, you know, early on against the Saints, Charlie Brown, their left tackle. I thought Jones owned him. And then he went quiet for a little bit, and then he had a sack late. There's phases when he's dominating his guy. Even if it doesn't lead to anything,
right,
there is a positive trickle-down effect to that. And I think you're right. I think Jones has taken a nice step the last couple of weeks here, and I just cross my fingers. The way things are going, that he stays healthy.
Oh, what? Knocking on wood. At risk of – this is James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world. At risk of being a complete homer, Super Bowls tend to be won by teams that got hot toward the end of the season. To that end, we're getting cold just at the right time. It's only up from here.
That is a true optimist.
He also says, he just thought I'd let us know that I'm listening to the show on my iPhone app when a potential client phoned. I pick up, and much to my surprise, the show was still playing over the phone call. The client was a little confused, as was I. I apologize for the bad line as Andy waxed lyrically about a woman with large breasts doing push-ups. I did my best to sound professional, but I'd be surprised if they allow me to do their security for them.
There
Maybe have
lunch.
A look into that for me, Fred. That might be a bug, you know, because I think when you're listening to, you know, music or whatever on your phone and you get a call, it's supposed to
cut off.
Yeah, cut off. So might have to look at that.
My apologies, James. I guess that means we won't be starting that lunch thing again since we're costing you clients.
Right. Let's see.
Well, he did buy a company. That's why he can't afford us anymore.
That's ridiculous. He should be making money. Turn that thing around.
Takes a while to start making money when you buy a company.
Not if you know what you're doing.
Ross says...
Anybody watch that documentary last night by any way? Speaking of shady businessmen like Pettigrew?
No.
Did the guy who bought the Islanders for a short time in like 96 and he didn't have any money?
No.
Everybody just believed him. They said he was worth maybe $100,000 and he paid $160 million
wow.
on paper because he was from Dallas and he did a couple business deals and he started like Jerry Jones... Roger Staubach, he started like rolling in those circles, and he said, once you're in those circles, people don't ask if you have money. They just assume you belong in this circle and you have money.
Right.
And he wouldn't tell like his accountant certain information. He wouldn't tell his lawyer. He literally, for 4 months or so, was making the day-to-day decisions for an NHL hockey team when he had no money. He
wow.
went to Fleet Bank, by the way. They gave him $85 million, even
wow.
though he had nothing to back it up with.
Wow.
And he kept, like, he had to make a $17 million cash payment to the guy. And he would make excuses, things. And then once, when it was really like crunch time, he made a payment of $1,700. And, oh, something got confused. Like, it's the weirdest,
wow.
like, craziest story.
You got to have some big ones to
oh,
do
yeah.
that.
He actually said, it's not that hard to do once you cross the line of, are you willing to do it?
Right.
Like once you've crossed that line, it's amazing that it's kind of easy to just kind of keep things rolling.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Ross writes into the question earlier about the TD pace for Brady and Manning. Brady 07 had 27 through seven games. Manning has 25 through the same period.
So Brady had a little more of a buffer there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though, because Manning's going to end up with a very impressive number. And remember, he has the 49. Brady broke that with the 50. He's looking to leapfrog that again with another right at the half-century mark there.
Let's see. TG and NJ. Fred, how much of these border war rumors are true? First, I hear that the Jets told the refs the Patriots pushed during the field goal attempts. Then Belichick says the Jets were doing it earlier in the game. Just seems that when these two teams play, there is always extracurricular issues that come up. Not sure if it's good or bad, and does the NFL allow it to a certain extent for a storyline and hype for the game? If anything, it just adds to the vitriol between the teams and their fan bases. Does this stuff go on between any other two teams in the NFL? I know in the AFC West, this stuff used to go on all the time, particularly Al Davis and everybody else. Shanahan couldn't stand them when they were there, and even before that with Reeves. There was always something going on with the Broncos and the Raiders or the Chargers and the Raiders or the Chiefs and the Raiders. That division hated each other.
Pretty sure it goes on in the North, too, the AFC North with the Bengals, the Steelers, the Ravens. I feel like I've read little snippets. But we hear more about it when we're involved in it than you do sort of. And the league, I mean, there's nothing illegal that's being done.
Right.
I mean, teams, like we talked about yesterday, can ask for certain things to be looked at can every week. But there is no doubt that the Patriots and the Jets don't like each other. Coaching staffs, organizations, Fred doesn't like their team paper, doesn't like the urine stream, doesn't like. There is a definite hate between these two.
And, you know, I still call BS about the Jets tipping off the refs because, again, Rex would have boasted about it after the game, and Belichick, by saying that they were doing the same thing, is saying, well, why would they tell the ref, and they'd be tipping themselves, the refs, off about their own tactics, too.
I didn't care for Bill saying that.
Yeah, I didn't either. It's out of character. But there's no way that Rex Ryan and his coaches told the refs about that.
So, okay.
I just think it was just so obvious what they were doing that the refs felt they needed to call it.
So you think there was no source? Because whoever, Rich Simony, I think, was the one that reported.
Well,
you know,
Albert Breer was the first one to report it right after the game. He said that a couple coaches intimated that they did, and then they asked Rex, and he was coy about it. He wouldn't admit it.
So who's lying?
I think if Breer is accurate and a coach even suggested that they did, then the coach is lying, that they're taking credit for something they didn't do.
Okay.
You know,
typical
Jets fashion.
See what I mean? There's the hate I'm talking
about. Well, good, because I do hate him.
I don't think it's a bad thing for the NFL either. As long as it doesn't cross certain lines, I think rivalries
and
storylines.
Look, at the end of the day, I say I hate him, and you know, I get more irritated when we lose to them, and I get more happy when we beat them than any other team. At the end of the day, it's all fun.
Right.
It's all fun.
And remember, the NFL has its own network now and its own website. They want storylines.
Right.
They want traction for a week. They want to be able to hype things up, and so I don't see why the league would have a problem with it.
You know, back in the day when newspapers were still read, you know, there was a newspaper called Jets Confidential. I'm not sure it's still printed these days, but the guy is still there that used to run it, and I had our paper. And one time I was making fun of the Jets, and I said, you know, the NFL should think about having the draft in different locations every year. Maybe they should choose the team with the worst record from the year before, have the draft in their city. And I said, well, come to think of it, that would always be New York anyway, because the Jets are always in last place. Well, the editor for the Jets Confidential wrote, you know, that a person who works for the team shouldn't be writing that kind of stuff about.
Is that Leber or whatever?
Dan Leberfeld. When I saw him, we laughed about it. You know, it was just like, who cares?
Right.
You know, it's not a big deal. But you take those shots. You tweak each other.
Good for business.
You know. And another time I got yelled at by the Jets PR guy because I there was a story out. It was true that, you know, we send the clips out. Every morning somebody from our PR department goes and culls all the stuff written about the Patriots into a nice little packet, and they email it out or print it out, and we all get it. All the coaches get it and everything. So back then the Jets were terrible, and there was a story that the Jets stopped doing that. They stopped giving it out to the players. So I wrote that, you know, things are so bad in New York that they are censoring now their clips. So that Sunday, Frank Ramos, who's the PR guy for the Jets, comes up to me comes up to me, and I had one of my writers sitting next to me. He goes, Fred, I read what you – we are not censoring, you know, the clips. We're just not handing them out anymore. And the guy next to me goes, sounds like censorship to me. And he just walks away. So that type of stuff happens.
Right.
But, you know, who cares? It's all in fun.
It's all in good fun.
It's just football at the end of the day.
And I think rivalries are good. My whole belief is you need more rivalries, more direct competition, more venom.
Sure.
It's not good to have parody and ups and downs. You know?
It's like the college, you know, they steal the mascot or they do something and, you know.
As long as you don't cross any lines.
Yeah, don't hurt anybody. Don't vandalize anything.
Don't kill those trees that were around for 150 years.
As long as it's in good fun, I love trash talk.
It's part of sports.
Right.
If you can't, you know, hate the losing and love the winning, like if there's no value in either, then what's the difference?
Right.
So you need to have some emotional investment
there. It needs to hurt to lose.
Correct.
You know? Let's see. Bill, who's a diehard Pats fan in San Diego.
Must have been a tough interview. Paul got the big bottle of soda to get him through.
I was hoping you'd walk in with food.
I just conducted the worst interview I've ever conducted in my life.
With Dan Connolly?
It had nothing to do with Dan Connolly. It was all on me.
That's saying a lot.
I was just awful.
That's saying a lot because I've watched some of his interviews.
It's hard sometimes.
What happened? Give us an example. Give us a preview.
Well, I'll give you the end. And I can't say the whole thing.
Now, did everybody agree with you? Like, did the cameraman, did you say that was awful?
No,
I'm sorry.
I was just joking with Glenn. He said it was fine. I said, no, it wasn't.
I'm going to go see him later. He goes, yeah, it was bad.
Well, I get to the end, and I had two other questions, one specific one that I wanted to ask it toward the end. And as he was answering the last question I ultimately asked, I forgot my question. So it was like, and I look at Glenn, I go, we good? And he goes, yeah, that's fine. I was terrible. I was all over the place. I had no sequence to my questions. I dropped the ball. I wasn't ready.
This is a good tease, though. People are going to have to watch now Thursday, 7:30.
See how bad it is.
So now you know
how
bad Paul is.
You know how Dan's brother is a renowned chef. So
right, you always fall back on that. Well,
when you have like a joke or something right. A little bit lighthearted. So I was going to, you know, and then I was like, I'm not going to ask him about his brother. He always asks that. He always answers that question. And then, so I was telling him at the end, I said, I really didn't have anything, you know, offbeat for you. I wanted to, you know, sort of try to make a joke out of it. And I said, I was going to ask you about your brother. And he goes, I thought you'd ask me about the World Series. He's from St. Louis.
Oh.
And I go, yeah, can we do it? He goes, nah, it's done now.
Bill's a diehard Pats fan in San Diego. Jake Ballard. I assumed he got hurt, cut. Thank goodness Gronk is back, but we need to target Mike Hooman and Shane Vereen soon or get another tight end.
Well,
where's Jake Ballard these days?
He worked out
yesterday somewhere.
He's still on Twitter if you want
Kansas
to
City?
Interact with him. Maybe. I don't know. He had a workout
Kansas
very
City.
Recently. And he's still on Twitter if you want to interact with him. Shane Vereen's on IR and can't play until the Carolina game, so you can't target him.
Yeah, he can. He was talked about a little bit today in the press conference, though.
Yeah, nothing came of it. Nothing clear.
No, because evidently, Bill doesn't know if he can start practicing yet or not, because you can practice a little bit before you are eligible to come off that IR.
Bill doesn't know a lot lately.
Return.
Doesn't know whether.
Censored myself. Why couldn't you?
Oh, I'm just referencing that Andre Carter's here, and could that possibly allow some versatility with Rob Ninkovich? And he doesn't know. Who should I ask?
Bill?
Why don't you know?
If you don't know.
Is there anything we need to fill Paul in? Any conversation?
He also, when Dan came out, he goes, I thought I was going to be doing this with Andy. I go, I'm sorry. I don't have the big, tough, stocky football build. He goes, are you intimidated? I go, not by him. I go.
This is probably a sad thing to say, but I think I am right now, I'm at the peak of players knowing who I am, like knowing my name, like being able to interact on a first-name basis with players. I don't know what that means, good or bad. But
I would not say that about myself. There was, like, back in the day, they all knew us and they all liked
probably
us back in the day.
When you do your 98.5 hit in the morning?
Last couple weeks, not.
Oh, okay.
Baseball is kind of
cut. I was going to say, because that's probably when they're driving in. They probably see that. Your guys' point-counterpoint on our show, PFW, is legendary. People all... They talk about that like there was some intern for marketing today. I don't even know who he was. First time I ever saw him, he goes, boy, your guys really get riled up on that show, huh? You know, so people really.
I had a good one yesterday, Fred.
Yeah.
We were going to do, the question was going to be, did the Patriots get screwed by the pushing penalty? But Vin's like, you need a different word. We can't say screwed.
Oh, God.
Which to me, I go, okay, porked, raped, hosed. And he's like, nope. But then Paul said, what did you end up saying? Just Paul cleaned it up.
Did they get robbed?
We was robbed.
So we're in the middle of the argument, and like my second time speaking, I go, and they got screwed. And I didn't even do it on purpose. Now you have to edit that out.
All right, let's take.
Screwed is not a bad word.
What's Kevin? You want a timeout? You want to take a break? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you
hungry? Hungry. Oh, God.
Don't. Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should you know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernrepper, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Kevin was nice enough to bring us some nice Subway sandwiches from the media room. Subway, eat fresh. You got to turn your microphone on and not talk with your mouth full.
Broadcast studios.
Right. But Paul's back. He just interviewed Dan Connolly. You'll see that in the PFW show Thursday.
Yeah.
Paul lowered himself to the offensive line's performance level. They've been so bad, he figured it was time for a bad
I don't see why you have to take shots at people. I was the one that was terrible, not Dan.
Yummy in Texas, Edelman's number of catches has reduced in recent weeks. Do you think the law of diminishing returns is applying here? I think he's beginning to get exposed for the jag that he is.
You know, he's also getting banged up. I mean, he's limped off a little bit. He's dealt with a thigh, I guess, on the injury report. I think he might have had a little more than that going on.
How many times was he targeted? Do we know?
He hasn't been targeted as much.
Definitely down.
The emailer is right. It probably is some of that diminishing returns. And, you know, teams have probably also said, oh, you know, this guy can hurt us a little bit. We're going to put
Tom's mad at
devote
him
a little
for,
bit more attention.
Him on the bench.
Well, plus the stars were back. This week you had Gronk back.
Right.
2 weeks ago you had Amendola back.
Yeah, but Amendola hasn't gotten a ton of targets either. In the two games that he came back, I didn't think that he got an incredible amount of
No, but
of
that's going to cut into Edelman. Even if it's not a huge number, if it's four, if it's five, those are probably going to go Edelman's
Certainly
way.
Edelman looked great on the punts.
And Edelman's not going to be a guy.
Last week was his best in a while, yeah.
Well, that one return, the 38-yarder, I think it was a terrific return. A couple of jump cuts in there.
Yeah,
he's a dynamic ball carrier. He's very good with the ball in his hands. You have to say that.
Sure.
I mean, even
so, why don't we get to him more? End of rounds?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's see. There was one I wanted to read. Oh, Mike from Canada.
We're
Canadian
big in Canada
Mike
today.
In not-so-smelly Florida. First off, Fred, why don't you talk with a Canadian accent when you read Canadian emails? For example, how about that Brady or how about that Tom Brady guy, eh? Or how about them Jets? Just take off, eh? Too many Canadian emails, I guess. Well, anyway, I don't think Tlaib should play this week. We don't really need him this week. Well, maybe we do. And I am scared he'll get hurt again. If I recall, he came back early last year with the same injury, and he went down his first game back.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Tlaib's health. I don't agree with the part you don't need him, but I'm concerned about this being made worse over the long term by him returning just after missing 1 week.
Little Brian Morey crime here from Josh in Waterloo. Hey, dudes, and Eric. Brian Morey has to be the most annoying, idiotic moron on the planet. Just hearing his voice makes me cringe more than thinking of my mother-in-law naked.
Oh.
When you get to hell, there is probably a track of Brian talking all day long. Oh, come on now. He gets really into Bin Laden and all this stuff. Can we trade Brian for Eric, please? Wow. Why does Josh not like Brian? Brian was fine.
He was fine.
He wasn't,
I wasn't
bad
here,
yesterday, was
perfect.
He?
I wasn't here, which is the
well,
only
you
reason.
See where you came and
he moved. Left, thankfully.
All right. I didn't think he was that bad.
Yeah, but you like him.
I do.
Most people don't.
Why?
I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. He's fine.
I just made Paul almost snarf up food.
I think he comes in here. He's got a take. You know?
What was
now,
he pumping?
Was he fine? Like, you know, Gronkowski was fine in May?
but he was pumping the speaker series on Monday.
Who we got this week?
Sebastian Vollmer.
Oh, it was on Monday?
No, it's coming up this Monday.
Oh, this coming Monday.
Yeah,
okay.
And 5:30 in the hall.
No, Andy, he wasn't promoting something that had happened the day before he came on to promote it.
I was going to say, that's a terrible joke.
He's 5:30 at the hall. Go to the hall at patriotplace.com to
now,
get
we'll present
tickets.
It by Raytheon.
Will he do it bilingually? Will he like say everything
perhaps
twice?
Perhaps. If there's edited someone German in the audience, he might.
Fred, can you give us a taste of what that might sound like?
No, I don't know.
Nein sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah, so that'll be a good
Did
take.
Did you get to the guy from Wales? Did
And that is what the happened? Type of setting that if you're there, you might ask him, what was Logan saying? He might answer it because it is that type of intimate setting. What happens in the hall stays in the hall.
Sure. It led to the idea that maybe in the off season we could have a competition between Eric and Fred, who both think they not only know accents and dialects very well, but think they can replicate them. And Fred has basically thrown down the challenge to
really?
Eric. And this is both local, you know, the difference between a New York and a Rhode Island and a New England, and international as well.
And if we have Andy could do the Boston one after yesterday, you know, with Marty Morningweg.
I can do Boston, maybe a little Brazil.
Hey, Marty. Yeah, you can do Brazil.
No, I know I could beat him.
You cannot catch the ball. You're going to throw it too.
Now, we weren't sure exactly whether we would play clips of an accent and they would have to name said accent, or whether we would ask them to read a piece of text in an accent.
I think both.
I want to hear the reading. Yeah, but you're right. It could be like a two-part
competition. And then we'll have people vote on them.
It's like the swimsuit competition, the talent competition.
And part of the benefit is our audience is so global, authentic people could vote on it.
We can have
people
the audio.
From Wales can vote on your Wales accent.
Right, we have an audio and an oral part
your
Wales, of the test.
Your Walesian.
Right, because I get yelled at for
well, that's what I
giving a Welsh guy a UK accent.
Is that
English
what it was?
Accent.
What? That's way different?
It's different dialect.
Oh, obviously.
Well, I know this is
one
different
of them's
dialect.
Like Hugh Grant.
Yeah, what I did was a Hugh Grant, he said.
That's one of them.
That's
Laurie.
Not
is that is that ropey?
Ropey. Yeah, what is ropey? That was, by the way, he said I had a ropey,
ropey accent.
Maybe it meant dopey, and it was a misspelling.
Oh, that could be.
Could be, but.
I didn't even think of that. I just assumed it was like
no,
a
I
term.
Think he meant it ropey. So for our English listeners, what does ropey mean as an adjective?
You do have to take all those into consideration. You know, with the phones nowadays, he might have meant dopey.
Oh, did you find out what pressing means?
Yeah, pre-taping.
Oh. So when do you get to pre-tape it?
Early? I think quick.
Like at like 6 o'clock though, on your way home?
Oh, no, after the Celtics game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's still the late show.
No, I know, but if you're taping it, why can't you tape it at 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night?
Because they have another show on at 6:30.
Well, whenever that show ends, tape
then
yours.
The Celtics are on. I don't think they're going to tape the whole thing. I don't think
they can't just tape your segment in the studio.
Well, I mean, I suppose they could have.
That's what I would have asked for.
I don't know.
And you're home watching the Red Sox.
Maybe I should do that. I'll send a text back.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, I didn't really think of that.
Dimwit.
Listen, I'm already feeling bad about myself after a pathetic performance in my interview. And I've really thought that I've been getting better at those too. It's not my strength.
Yeah, you had a
the
bad one.
The TV interviews are not my strength. I'll be the first
and
to admit it. And I thought that I've been doing a little bit better.
But you didn't have a guy that was going to like make that play for you.
Well,
he's
not
tough.
not only that.
Give you a, like boost.
I went over and I was talking to Capello and Bob Sosi from 98.5 The Sports Hub, and Eric was there, and they were really trying to prop me up a little bit, make me feel better about myself. They said, "Well, what happened? You know, didn't you prepare?" And I said, yeah, I prepared for Stephen Ridley because that's what I was supposed to do. And they're like, well, that's it right there. That's you didn't know. You would have had questions if.
Yeah, but people watching don't know.
Well, plus, I mean, let's face it. You should be able to have a substantive interview with any member in that locker room.
It's not like they threw Selver Saluki at you.
Right.
That's true.
Any day,
oh, by the way,
you should be able to talk to anybody. I did not see
him.
Nor did I see Andre Carter.
But I know what he looks like. I know he's not Samoan.
Nick writes in, almost through listening.
So he has that going for him.
Almost through listening to yesterday's PFW, and there is a criminal lack of discussion about one of the key players on this team finally back from injury. Enough with the stupid call on the field goal and more about Matt Slater. I thought he had a great return. Yeah, he did. Okay. He made a play.
Did he?
And as far as the Gronk ratio.
Because I actually thought the punt coverage was a little.
As far as the Gronk ratio, it was Brady trying to instill confidence in his rookies. With 8 catches on 17 targets, Gronk's only catches are 50% of his two. Well, he only catches 50%, so that's a joke.
I saw what he did.
Seriously enough, Brady seemed a little off in the second half. I remember one play where Dobson had beat his coverage and Brady just missed him.
Yep, I remember that play.
I actually have to disagree with you guys in your recent assessment that Dobson has been awful. No, he hasn't been good, but I think he is making progress and seems to be showing more than Tompkins. Every game I feel like he gets a little more open and drops the ball a little less, which is at least progress in the right direction. Love to hear your thoughts.
I think long-term Aaron Dobson is going to be the better player.
I think he's by far has more skills than Tompkins. I just don't.
I haven't seen a lot of growth.
Yeah, that's the part I was going to disagree with. I haven't seen this development that a lot of other people seem to be pointing toward. ESPNBoston.com had some stats today, and I don't have them off the top of my head, and I wish I did. But Tompkins, his percentage of catches per target is like 43%, something like that. It's the second worst of guys who have qualified over a long period of time, for years. So that's pretty bad. And Dobson's drop percentage is high up there among qualifiers as well. So yeah, are they getting better? Yeah, I mean the first week of the season it was an absolute train wreck. So if you're going to drop the bar down all that way and say they're getting better, yeah, I just haven't seen them really yet to look consistently like viable NFL wide receivers. I just haven't. Now part of that might not all be their fault. Some of it might be Brady's fault. Because I think that, you know, what a lot of people were afraid of happened on Sunday in terms of, okay, Gronk's back. you guys go over there.
Right.
I'm just going to throw the ball to Gronk every play. So that doesn't really help them either.
James Pettigrew says ropey means not very good, as in Patriots have a ropey secondary.
Okay, so it was ropey.
And offensive line. And receiving quarterback.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to say that guy's email before the break was absolute PFW gold about the stream crossing over to the business call. Man, so funny. I mean, there's so many times at work when situations like that have happened. So, you know, from the listeners, got to say that was close to home for sure. Guys, I wanted to ask you, what's the skinny on Armstead? I mean, it seems like there's just no news about this guy. I don't know if there's something I've missed, but, you know, is there a reality? I know we only got a few weeks left, and, you know, the D-tackle, you know, assuming Kelly's coming back, you know, I want to know, what is the inside scoop on this guy?
Nothing. He is not going to practice.
You've missed nothing.
Nothing has changed on the timetable, according to Belichick. He is not.
But we got another week.
Yeah.
Start practicing next week, and then he can have his.
He was asking about Armstead.
Yeah.
He was. He was walking out to practice today, t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, shorts, kind of like we've seen him the last couple of times in that same situation.
And everybody else was in pads.
Full pads.
Is he looking in shape? I mean, you know, what is your guys' perception about this guy? I mean, is it going to be a realistic jump to see this guy potentially coming in there?
Well, here's the thing to consider. As Andy was saying, the clock started last week. He's now in the second week. And if he hasn't practiced by the end of this week, that means he still is unable to, I would think.
Right.
Given the need that they have at that position, you would think if he were healthy enough to practice, they would have done so immediately when he was eligible. The fact that he hasn't, now they have one more week and a day or two to decide what to do with him. I would keep my expectations low.
And given the fact that it's not a broken arm.
Well, no.
Okay, bad example.
But, no,
it's not like a sprained ankle. All we know is there was a surgery to remove an infection, which is a very vague.
And it could have been anywhere. We don't know where
anywhere
it was.
And of any type and of any time period for recovery, or for all we know, he had to have, you know, we've seen other guys have multiple surgeries to deal with infections.
Yeah.
So we have nothing to go on. And the fact that he's not healthy now certainly is not a good sign that, you know, he's certainly not going to end up as the 21st best player on the team, as some of us may have thought that might be the case.
Us?
Me.
Okay. I was hoping so. I mean, I remember seeing this kid. At
us.
FC, and, you know, he was a big reason why FC scored so many points. I mean, you know, stopping guys on third down, you know. So I just hoping that there might have been a glimmer of hope there. I mean, I'm holding on hope, but my expectations are low. I just, you know, as this weather gets colder, I'm just hoping there's some sort of spark in the middle. And I think Jones and Villano are doing a serviceable job, and hopefully they grow. But I just wanted to check in with you guys since you work right next to, you know, where these guys are playing and practicing. But, hey, real quick, lastly, I got to give a shout out to Tyrone in Delaware. Where's this guy been? Has he called in and I just missed it? But, you know, this guy's been one of my top callers. I love the guy's passion. We're kind of in the middle of the season. And Tyrone, if you're listening, man, give a call. I want to hear some of your takes and just hear what's going on with you. But, you know, that's all I got, guys.
Okay.
Swish the fish.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Good call. Chester always has his you know what together when he calls. There's no hemming and hawing when Chester calls.
Script.
Take?
Ducks?
Poop?
David wants to buy lunch for us tomorrow.
Hey!
Like to know the average cost usually is before I make my commitment to do so. Kevin will work that out with you.
David. Wow.
Love David.
Awesome.
Who's David?
David from where?
We don't care.
No, but where's he from?
It doesn't say where he's from.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Chris with the TIN writes in with a little over-under. You ready? Guys, ready for an over-under?
If it's offense, I'll take the under. If it's defense, I'll take the over.
Brady, 237 yards passing.
Under.
How many?
237.
Over.
Over.
I'll say over.
Ridley, 83 yards rushing.
Over.
I'll say under.
I'll say under because he hasn't been getting the touches.
Over. 140.
Gronk, 2 TDs.
Push.
Push.
Really? Everybody thinks he's going to get 2 touchdowns.
Well, he had like 3 chances.
He almost had it.
Week,
yeah.
So,
offensive.
Oh, by the way, you guys all screwed the pooch.
Oh yeah.
Because not one of you brought up when I for about 3 weeks was saying he was going to return with 8 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Came pretty close.
He happened to return with 8 catches and 114 yards and could have had easy 2 touchdowns. But none of you monkeys told me that would be tying a career high that I was predicting in his first game back.
Well,
because I certainly didn't know that. I wouldn't have been predicting a career high coming right out of the gate.
You should know that I don't. delve into the SID stats.
You engage in hyperbole a lot, though. So
you
it's,
do.
It's...
No, but I didn't mean that. I was being very specific. That was not like, oh, I think he's going to have a career game. That was a specific number. And I don't really consider like a career high in SID stats.
Yeah, but I mean, how many? Like knowing how many that was. Like, what's Julian Edelman's career high in receptions?
14.
Yeah, something in the double digits. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Something in the double digits. We don't know. It's just not.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think
if I was the SID guy, I would know.
I think of
13
Gronk
against
great,
the Jets in
so
week
I
two.
Would just assume Gronk had a double digit catch.
Well, Gronk, people know his stats.
He's great.
Yeah.
But, no,
yeah,
but even
but
that,
yet
like,
we
I
didn't.
Think he's, but we didn't.
I don't know
but
anybody. We didn't.
This the is four the people who are supposed to know it more than anyone.
I'm with you, Fred. Like I would have assumed that it was double digits, but it wasn't.
It is in the postseason. Just
offensive line sacks given
even
up.
Even more so.
Two and a half.
What?
Offensive line sacks given up.
Over.
I'm going to say over until I see proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Trends are trends for a reason.
Chandler Jones sacks, 1.5.
Over.
Really?
Yeah, he
I
was
said
close
three.
The other
I'm already
day
on
too.
The record with three. Jonathan Martin blows, and Brian McKinney doesn't know
that
the
would
blocking
put him
schemes.
In on pace for a hell of a season.
Well, it would give him 9.5. I don't know what pace would
through
be.
Through 8 games?
Because he doesn't that's get really to play good. Those guys every week.
Spikes tackles, 9.5.
Over. When he plays, he's a 10-tackle guy.
Under.
They don't run the ball.
Brady eye rolls, 11.
Over.
If they don't run the ball against the Patriots, they're a terrible football team.
And then
they didn't run it against Atlanta.
Doing
no,
something
the
really.
The Patriots' defensive line blows right now. They
I
can't
know, so
stop
does
the
Atlanta.
Run. They cannot stop the run. So Joe Philbin is a clown who should have stayed at Northeastern then.
And then he closes with
he's
saying,
so mean.
Do it like your mother does, fathead. Or, it's a real nasty thing. I can't say it.
What? I don't even understand it. Suck it?
Well, I didn't want to say that.
We say suck it on the show all the time.
Not when it assume when you're talking about a specific person doing something.
I have heard a number of people say suck it Eric, suck it Andy, like
yeah, it's pretty common.
They're talking about sucking it.
We don't talk about vacuum cleaners very often
all
on
right.
the show.
Okay.
Right. I don't talk like that.
And you say the P word all the time, which
and
is
all,
totally inappropriate.
And all that.
That's okay.
You do. He said it yesterday with Brian Morey, and Brian Morey looked at me and goes, can we say that? I said, no, but Fred does.
And you have to say it in that certain way.
And then go.
Yeah. Although, less and less, I'm trusting Fred as a barometer of what and when to say things.
Yes, Fred had some lines yesterday.
Leads you right off the cliff.
Well, as we were taping our TV show, Fred had some
like
lines yesterday.
Like
that,
those Mellings that Andy
Mellings?
10 minutes
he
later.
Mellings.
Yes, you never heard that one?
No.
Oh, God. But yeah, Fred, about 10 minutes after taping yesterday, looked at the guys and said, can we tape, cut that part out, edit this out, edit that out. You know, Fred's not the barometer that he used to be.
Speaking of Mellings and like elk, as I also like to say, I have had to stop myself mid-sentence doing real radio interviews where I start to say one of those idiotic things and have to clean it up. Because,
I
say that in Bangor, Maine. Like,
what?
Elk. That's an animal. Shoot. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
banger.
They don't get it.
Right. I'll just be an idiot. I'll just be a moron.
Let's see. Daniel writes in, really enjoying the program today. Thanks for reading my email between the Cincy and Saints game. I then complained that Colley and Mulligan didn't play against Cincy. After Mulligan proved his worth immediately, I was glad to see Colley do likewise against the Saints. But therefore, again, I ask, what does the guy have to do to get reps on this team? Colley catches and holds on after the hit. What more do you want? It's more than the rest do. And now back comes Gronk. So where was Hooman? Not needed anymore? I beg to disagree. I've read a lot of fans.
I beg to disagree.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people were a little surprised at the number of targets that Gronk had.
Yeah, I just think that is utterly ridiculous.
I've read a lot of fans complaining that.
I wasn't surprised at all.
I wasn't surprised, and I don't have a problem with it. You've sucked with everybody else. I have no problem
and
with Brady.
And he's the best receiver on the team.
Right. He has the best hands of anyone on the team. He has the longest arms of anyone on the team. He has the best ability to fight for the football of anyone on the team. And you're Tom Brady, and you're thinking, all these other schlebs, whatever that word is, suck. Why wouldn't I throw to Gronk?
Shoemakers.
I've read a lot of fans.
No, I was going with Capella has a word.
Schleps.
Schleps. Even though it's usually a verb, and I'm not sure it's properly used as a noun.
Oh, you can call him schleps.
Schleps?
Yeah.
I thought it was schlepping.
Yeah, well, you could do that, too. It's a versatile word.
I've read a lot of fans complaining that Blount is returning kicks without ever reaching the 20. Okay, true, but at least he shows up to play on Sunday. Washington doesn't. He's averaged, what, 3 minutes on the field per outing? Sure. And even when he has returned a kick, he never made it to the 20 either.
That's true.
Tired of seeing his sorry butt in a Patriots uniform. I'm ready to move on from him.
When was the last time you saw his sorry butt in a Patriots
uniform? Andre's back, twice, right? A sight for sore eyes. This may earn us the respect we've lost since Vince and Mayo went down. Just venting these few items, guys. Thanks again for the great job.
I do like the venting.
I do, too.
I'm all for venting and just random thoughts. I don't see how Andre Carter gets us the respect. He has some respect maybe within the locker room and veteran presence and Chandler and all that, but it's not like you line up and Tannehill's going to be like, oh, my God, Andre Carter's over there. Oh, my God.
Picked up where he left off in the locker room, though.
He's a good guy.
Well, very good guy.
So how's he look?
Oh, he did come in?
Oh, yeah, he did, good. Finally. Good, yeah.
Good, how's he look?
Like, he looks good.
Bigger.
Like
shape. No, about the same.
How's his thigh?
He's been doing CrossFit to stay in shape, he said.
I don't see it. Consider that a good sign. Okay. It's like a guy that's just dangling and hanging on.
No, he said he actually had some good things. He was saying that
That Andy takes his bad signs.
It was either the Patriots or retirement this year. That was his mindset going into 2013. He had talked it over with his family.
Brian Waters, it was either the a team in Dallas or retirement.
Right. I'm putting that in your other category, though, the fact that it was either the Patriots or retirement. Right. So he's
if you're thinking
close.
About retirement.
Right. Not good.
By the way, Eric, we have a challenge.
He said so.
We have a challenge for me and you in the off season.
Oh, yeah.
An accent off.
An accent off?
Yeah, where both of us are given accents to do, and we have to see who does them better.
We're going to leave that up to votes, hopefully from some of the people from that
place. That region.
You know, if you're doing a whale.
And then also listening to accents and
trying to imitate them?
Not trying to imitate.
Naming them.
Trying to say where they're from.
Okay.
Oh, and we can get callers involved and have people call with Kevin
from all over the place.
Right.
Oh, this is phenomenal. This is going to be good.
Can't wait for the offseason. No preparation. This is just spot. Like,
well, I think with the accents, I think we should be given a list of the accents that we need to do.
So why don't we say?
Oh, no.
Oh, like if somebody says, you know, some
Do a Korean accent or something.
If I've never heard it, that's not fair.
So let's plan this for January 14th.
Oh, see now. That's terrible.
I'm sorry.
Do we know when the draft is?
May, I believe.
May 8th?
8, 9, 10.
That's not going to be good.
Did you make vacation plans already?
Right? It's my anniversary.
I knew it was one of those.
Happy anniversary.
So that Thursday, the May 8th
Thursday,
is Thursday?
Yeah.
We have a playoff game every year on my anniversary.
We'll be happy. So April, I could go to Disney, huh? Have to look into that. I think I'm going to bite the bullet, Fred.
Yeah. Go to Disney.
The one and done time.
They Disney. You're not a Disney guy.
I have no desire to go.
Andy, they will absolutely love it.
No, I know.
And that's a bit, no matter
I'm
how
also
cranky,
worried about the money.
No matter how cranky you are about it.
Talk to Carol. Can she get you a deal?
Yeah, but I'm still
being
really told it's
dropped
like
the ball, too.
$6,000
I could have had,
the
house for you.
$6,000, is that all this time.
Now he decides to go.
Is that a fair estimate? $6,000 if I have that in my brain?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you should be able to do it for that.
I've seen those commercials where like you can take a family of four for like, $1,500 or something?
Yeah. I don't think they're real.
Yeah. Really?
That's the old bait and switch.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, they're going to want to do more than just Disney. Like, I'm sure we'll do SeaWorld and Legoland. And
if you do it, you don't have to. There's
Disney's
plenty
a
to
big
do
place.
With Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, are there killer whales?
No. Well, I mean,
my son loves killer whales, so unless there's killer whales at Disney.
Are there things in Disney than SeaWorld? No. So you settle on what that area
no,
has?
No. I'm doing it once.
Oh, you're never going to Florida again?
The state smells. I'm doing this once. Oh, I'm doing
that smells at Disney.
I'm
it's the
doing
cleanest place on earth.
So I'm going to do all the whatever the attractions that in that too. General area are. We're doing.
Although it's not so happy
well,
around 3:45 in the afternoon.
There's a lot of crankers,
a lot of cranky kids, and parents that are at the end of their rope.
I can't do it in a week, 7 days, whatever.
Speaking from experience,
not right. Not all those things.
Or
right.
We'll have to stay 8 or 9 days.
I think you should.
Wait, what are you suggesting over there?
He wants to do all the. All Universal, SeaWorld in 1 week.
I've done that.
Yeah, see, Paul can do it.
You can't do it right.
What? You spend a day at the park.
Yeah, you can do it.
You can absolutely
do
it.
7 days? I mean, are there 7 things I need to spend a full day
at? Well, I mean, you don't have to do
Universal, SeaWorld,
you don't have to do every
different parts of Disney.
Like, Lego, I'm sure, doesn't take all day.
But a Legoland in Orlando?
But if you go there, it takes a while to get there, so it's not as close. But you can do.
My kids aren't listening.
The Magic Kingdom itself, you probably need to do more than just 1 day.
Yes.
Right. But like the other stuff is one.
You going,
I mean, Universal's 1 day. SeaWorld is 1 day.
April maybe.
Absolutely.
I'm going in March.
You could do those things in a day.
April, May, somewhere in
it takes
there.
Takes me.
Epcot is a half day.
It takes me a minimum of 5 days just for Disney World.
Well, but I don't
like
Disney.
That's ridiculous. That's going on like every ride like 25 times.
And I also have small kids, so they're not doing everything, right?
Well, you got to get your. You got to get your hopper passes too. You got to get your fast passes. You got to really do some research.
I can't get a wheelchair anymore. You got to talk to Caroline.
What's the park where you do around the world and it has all the?
That's Epcot.
Epcot. Yeah, we do drinking around the world.
That's a half day.
We do drinking. Yeah, he's
going
to do that.
I'm going with a 4 and a 6 year old.
You're
going
to drink around the world, man,
or a 5 and a 7 by that time. But
so, are you getting like just absolutely obliterated?
Why would adults go to Disney?
Yeah, and then you go get a big old turkey leg.
What do you have in your mouth?
Oh, I hate
sunflower seeds.
I can't stand those turkey legs.
You don't like turkey legs?
No, it just looks like
they're like big greasy.
You might as well eject the salmonella right in.
You could save like $4,000 and go to King Richard's Fair and get one.
It's all right.
I mean, you just look at it.
Have you ever been to one of those?
How do you not die?
King Richard's Fair things.
I did one in Florida.
Andy
actually
goes to Renaissance Fairs every weekend.
Like went to one or took part in
it? No, I went to one. Yeah.
I was.
Aren't those the ones where they like treat you like it's really that?
Yes.
Yeah, like that place in Boston where
Medieval Manor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that still around?
I don't know.
I think so.
I think it is.
It's been around
for
a long time.
I haven't been,
but I went to the King Richard's Fair once and pulled up into the parking lot, and another car pulled up alongside us, and these people got out and they were all dressed up, and I was thinking, oh, there's part of the crew or the cast from King Richard's Fair, and it wasn't
losers.
They were just people who were
role players,
really into it.
Yeah.
Losers.
Comic-Con.
Losers.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Fred, you've been to those, right?
Comic-Con? I have never been to
Don't tell me you haven't dressed up as Darth Vader.
I've never been to a Comic-Con. Never been to
I was actually thinking of taking Jackson. There's one coming
really
around here somewhere.
Yeah.
I figured you see a bunch of Batman and Superman and whatever the hell else it is.
Those people are crazy.
John in South Carolina, how does Andre Carter help us in the middle? I don't mean that as a negative. Just try to figure this out on the move.
That's Silver Siligia.
You got to get promoted from the practice squad.
He will. He's Samoan.
I saw him in
is he Samoan?
He doesn't have the long hair, though.
But is he Samoan?
A
svelte Samoan
looks
with
like
short
he could
hairs.
Be.
He put a picture
or Tongan.
A selfie
that's
last night on Twitter. It didn't really look like... Like
is he not
that,
Samoan? I'm going to look it up. I might as well.
Pecco kind of, you know, the long hair. With
well,
the,
you know.
He didn't have long hair.
No, it didn't look like
plus,
he was.
Remember last time I got a Samoan?
Politically correct.
We got the world's softest Samoan, and he didn't even play in a game.
Oh, yeah.
Ross in Canada.
Yeah. Fenono.
I like the Carter pickup and agree with the reasons stated to begin today's show. Veteran presence and a situational pass rusher. I keep hearing people, not so much you guys, talking about going after Hakeem Nicks. I've suffered through the primetime Giants games this year, and Nicks has played like hot garbage. He always makes me think of the movie Coming to America. When you think of garbage, think of Hakeem. I think at this point...
you're wrong about that. He had a terrible game on Monday night, but he's been solid for that.
I think at this point our receiving core is what it is, and instead of focusing on a wide receiver while Boyce continues to wither away on the bench, I'd prefer to see them go after a center or someone to help fix the line. What do you guys think? Were the Pats to try to make a play before next week's deadline, would you prefer to see them go after a receiver or some help for the O-line? Thanks for yesterday's therapy. Time to go out and squish the fish this weekend.
I'd like to see them get Larry Fitzgerald. Other than that, I have no interest.
Can't argue with that logic.
Should we bring Adrian Peterson while we're at it?
Yeah.
Maybe get Revis.
Yeah, because, you know, he's not doing that well right now in Minnesota.
I understand Paul's point about Hakeem Nicks, but I really wouldn't have any interest in Hakeem Nicks.
Why?
I don't think he would be that much of a difference maker.
You don't think that he is 100 times better than the guys you have right now on the outside?
If he can stay on the field, then maybe. But
when has he been off the field?
I don't know. He gets hurt.
So does everybody else.
But I want a guy who doesn't
right
get
now,
hurt.
Right now he's healthy. Everybody gets Calvin Johnson.
I mean,
got hurt
listen,
this year.
The Giants right now are a train wreck. So I'm not judging them off of what's going on right now. Clearly, they have issues. I mean, Eli Manning is not, contrary to Andy's opinion, Eli Manning is not a bumbling idiot. Like he's looked all season long.
Just most years before the month of December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember when it used to be like, you know, when the games are biggest, the guy comes through and that was a good thing?
Right.
For Andy, that's the opposite.
I tried to explain that to him earlier today, Paul, when you weren't here, but he wasn't listening.
Well, not surprising.
Yeah, you two are often aligned in idiocy.
That's right.
Siliga,
I think Fred's a smart man.
Siliga, he was born in West Jordan, Utah, but... Okay. He looks Samoan, so maybe he's second-generation Samoan.
Okay.
You know, that's obviously a hotbed of
Well,
it
explains the Utah
It's like when you said
too.
He was born in, like, West Jordan, like, I thought you meant, like, Jordan.
The state of Jordan.
Right. On the other side of the wall, Jordan.
Right.
Sam in London, it was disheartening to see the targets for Dobson and Tompkins go down so much last week, especially as they look to be getting a little more separation.
Here we go.
Strides were being made, and for once, Brady couldn't pull the plug so early with the newbies. Now it seems like he is starting to waver in his commitment to bringing these guys along. They need to suckle at the teat of experience, and there's only one teat, boys. Sorry, Andy. Targets.
One Freddie. Teat.
Freddie.
You know, the woman with Melvin needed a teat.
She had one. She needed the other.
What?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Melvin, what happened when Eric and I were in the locker room?
Melvin called in, our friend from Tennessee. Yeah. He's working in an elderly rehab facility or something now.
Right. Oh.
And he said he had a Fred moment where he meant to say,
do you need a, you're out of breath, do you need a rest?
And he said, do you need a breast to an 80-something-year-old woman? And she said, what? And he said, I was breathy. So he used Fred's excuse when he misspeaks. And it was funny.
Wow.
Sam continues, Freddie will be fine, doesn't feel the same as it used to, it's harder to believe. And finally, I'm away from my partner, Kat, and have taught this English girl to love the game. So can I just say to her that I love you and I miss you more than you know? As always, F the Jets. So shout out to Kat, his girlfriend.
Fred.
Kat in Chicago?
Who he hopes listens to the show.
Kat in Chicago? Oh.
No. I don't think
Fred.
So.
Fred.
No. Different Kat. Different Kat.
Don't know that Kat.
You guys missed. This is a major story
this,
you guys
this
missed.
This could be a shout out show. Now.
Fred is no longer soothing the fans by saying they're fine. We're not. The fans aren't buying it.
Oh.
This is a major story. Fred, that's your job.
You know,
you got to step it up.
What did Jeff Fisher say? You lose.
You need to do
10%
your job.
Of your locker room every year. Well, you've lost your fan base.
You have a responsibility.
I'm telling
get your ass out there and find that bleeping dog.
I already had my diatribe today about the Dolphins. I started out, and everybody's on board.
You need to do your job.
We're going to beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, squish the fish.
But you're not making people think it's fine.
Pace the porpoises.
That worries me. Pace the
at the end of the day, I can only do so
maim
much.
Maim the mammals.
We used playing with a porpoise once.
Yeah, we did. We did.
This week, we have all push it.
Shove it.
Shove it.
Oh, shove it. Sorry.
Push it.
Salt and pepper.
You didn't like
that? We need musical covers.
Yeah, can we do that? How much would that cost?
Like those cards you get. Those are always expensive, though. Like $8 for a card.
Yeah, and then everybody
bucks.
Just throws the card in the mouth.
Well, cards are the biggest waste in all of anything.
I agree.
But what would you rather get?
You're not allowed to give a card in my family.
During the holidays, like, what would you rather
you
get?
Should.
A card or like just an email with a picture?
Or just the $4 or the $5.
No, but seriously.
I'd rather have that taped to the outside of the gift.
I don't want an email with a picture.
Right.
No.
But I don't want
physical,
a card either.
A physical card. If you have to have one or the other,
right.
I'm saying take
if
a
you
card.
Choose.
If I had to choose between a card or an email,
yeah.
I would take a card.
Yeah.
I would take the email because I'm being green. I didn't ruin the environment by cutting a tree down.
Yeah, and if you cared about
it's
that,
made of, it's
I
a card made of recycled paper.
I don't want cards on any level. The only the one thing that I like now is with kids, you can always circumvent it by just saying, "Why don't you make Grammy a card? Why don't you?" And they just have a birthday Grammy on a
scribble
piece of
something in crayon,
right? And so you don't actually. I think cards are. I literally would rather have the $3, the $4.
I don't like cards either. I don't like them. But
and
I'm
then
just
I
saying,
feel bad. I got to put it on a table and keep it for a couple days.
I do
and then
get
throw
that.
It out later. But I feel bad throwing it out because they give me a card. And
I do. I feel bad immediately
if it's
throwing
the card
away.
In it, I don't need your card.
Right. But no, I feel bad throwing it away immediately. I feel like I some kind of like
right.
You ever seen a kid when a kid opens presents? They just
that they're doing just as good.
Money falling out
with a card as giving that email. I think that's worse.
What's worse?
The email doesn't.
I'd rather have the email because some of those emails actually have like funny stuff in them, like a little dun 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 or something. And
well, sometimes cards have them too. You open them up, they're musical, they're pop up things.
Yeah, but they never live up to it. You see those cards that always pretend they're going to show you a hot naked chick on the inside? They never do.
Depends on who's sending.
Andy's
the
only one who actually opens the card and then gets disappointed.
Right.
They have
what?
Those,
no nudity?
He's standing there at CVS opening
adult
all the cards.
Stores where you can get
cards.
Yeah,
but that's inappropriate.
Well,
but
you
that's,
just
what
said, that's what you're
for.
Looking for.
I know, but I don't want to feel like
so
a scumbag
wait a minute.
When
Let
I'm
me get
buying
it straight.
It. It's inappropriate
to
go
it,
in the adult store.
It, well, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. No, I just don't want to have to buy. You're going to make fun of me because of the phraseology here, but my preferred card is the big pickle. Have you ever seen that?
I'm not surprised at all.
It's just a big.
It's always
on his
mind.
No, I'm being dead serious. It's just a big green pickle, and it's blank inside. You can use it for all occasions, and that's what I generally give as my card of choice. Just the big pickle.
Which is blank inside.
Well, I write in it, depending on the occasion, Christmas, birthday.
Don't you wish you had this?
To you from me.
That's what Fred writes on the inside.
It's my favorite card.
Well, that's like me. My go-to wedding present was always the shower radio.
Yes,
because
I'm aware. I can vouch for that. I received the shower radio from Freddie.
And the people you give it to, their go-to re-gift is a shower radio.
Did you ever use it?
I used it all the time.
Of course you did, because it's usable. It's not the stupid can opener.
Actually, I think you gave me a shower radio for a Yankee swap once.
It also broke very quickly.
Yeah, mine did too.
Yeah. But I did use it when I had it.
It's in the shower. You're not supposed to have a radio in the shower.
No, you are.
It's supposed to be waterproof.
Yeah.
Oh, it was waterproof. It was a shower radio.
Break it?
It just stopped working.
Yeah, because they're not really waterproof. They're water resistant, as they say.
No. It's a good gift for a wedding because you know both sides can use it.
It's like a Venus razor. Chris Ferrer and his wife both use it. I didn't tell you that story?
Yes,
no,
you did.
You didn't tell me.
He and his wife used the same Venus razor in the shower.
All right, well, John's here, and it's the end of the show. Hey,
he's
John.
Be mad.
I hate him.
What's going on?
What are we talking about today? Anything good?
Green
pickles. Yeah,
how do we fix the offensive line?
Yeah, right.
How bad my interview was?
Gronkowski targets.
How bad was your interview?
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
With whom?
Paul was really hard on himself.
Why was it bad?
I was just terrible.
Well,
I asked terrible
explain
questions.
Explain why it was
explain
bad.
Why
I asked
bad
questions, and I didn't have any sort of direction to the questions.
No, but explain why.
Well, I told him. I was supposed to do Stephen Ridley.
There's one reason.
But I'm not going to lie. It
so
wouldn't have been any better if
for
I
Ridley.
Prepared. I was prepared
Instead,
for Ridley.
You got a curveball thrown you to borrow the World Series parlance here.
And he couldn't hit
and
the
you
curve.
Went to,
funny that you bring up the World Series. Dan Conley from St. Louis, I did not ask him any questions about the World Series.
That's not good.
And was chastised afterwards for not having done so.
By Dan Conley. He yelled at me after the interview.
Not a joke.
Okay, now I understand how you feel, Paul.
Terrible.
All right.
Terrible. Worst
Thursday,
one I've ever done.
Thursday, 7:30, if you want to see the interview that was
tune in.
Thursday at 7:30.
Tune in.
John's up with the playbook and then replay. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.